Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, October 16, 2023. Tonight's meeting is a special meeting with all county committees of safety organizers to discuss national concerns, strategies, and the importance of the county committees to unite statewide and nationally to address these concerns and strategies. Because united we stand, and divided we continue to fall. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, and starting tonight and the first Monday of every month, we will be holding a special meeting for all county committees of safety organizers. All National Liberty Alliance members and non-members are invited to participate. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab, top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading. We're reading the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Tonight's scripture reading is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 6, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Okay, by the way, someone was bleeding through, so someone needs to mute. Okay, you know, President Trump said, I was elected not to take power, but to but to give power back to the people where it belongs. The problem is that people don't know how to take power, to have government by consent. Our founding fathers did not leave us without a process. The problem is that the de facto government seized control of our education and thereby over time removed that proper education. NLA teaches government by consent via the County Committee of Safety. It was the County Committee of Safety that our founding fathers used to control government in the colonies. It was through the County Committees of Safety that our founding fathers called forth the First Continental Congress. It was through the County Committee of Safety that our founding fathers called forth the Second Continental Congress. It was through the Committee of Safety that our founding fathers called for the Declaration of Independence. It was through the Committee of Safety that our founding fathers fought the Revolution. It was through the Committee of Safety that our founding fathers debated the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and formed the United States. And it was through the Committee of Safety that our founding fathers exercised government by consent. Over time, a proper education was abrogated, just like our Constitution. National Liberty Alliance's mission is to reinstate the County Committee of Safety in every county in America and restore our founding documents. We will start tonight's meeting with a 15-minute review of National Liberty Alliance's mission, purpose, and plan to establish a Committee of Safety in every county, after which we will open a Q&A, an open conversation. The Q&A is already open now. Anybody wants to get in it? If anyone wants to comment on the conversation at hand while they are in the Q&A, please just raise your hand and we'll open your mic for that part of the conversation, and then, of course, we'll continue your place in the queue for whatever comment or anything that you want to raise. So we'll open your mic in the order it was in the queue. If you're not in the queue and you want to join the conversation, you must just get into the queue and then raise your hand at the point of the conversation that you want to enter. Okay, we'll see how things go. So we'll start off with really sort of an introduction. It's going to be less than 15 minutes or less. It's not going to take much longer. And by the way, Jan, we're not going to be covering any Q&A tonight from any questions that came through the email. Tonight, usually we run this meeting till 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. But tonight, we'll go as long as we have to in order to have a good conversation and get enough things going. We're also going to repeat or have a regular monthly meeting. I mentioned this a little early in the beginning of the introduction. We'll have a monthly meeting for the Committees of Safety every month. It'll be the first Monday of the month. I mean, this is kind of off set, but in the 3 weeks, I think it'll be roughly 3 weeks, we're going to have another meeting. And we'll have one every month, as I said. There's a lot to discuss, a lot of things to do, but let's get started, and we'll see once where we're going to be here. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Edmund Burke. The mission and purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to provide an online national venue where the people can organize, communicate, and learn the science of government by consent. NLA provides for the following. It assists the grassroots in developing committees of safety in all 3,000 plus U.S. counties. Reinstate a proper education for our children in schools through county committees of safety. Provide a proper education for the people. Provide a proper education for sheriffs and their deputies. Provide a proper education for all elected and appointed servants. Provide for communications between the 3,000 plus county committees of safety. Instruct county committees of safety how to have government by consent. Instruct county committees of safety how to take back our political process and reinstate our natural law republic. End civil law and the rules in our federal and state courts. Reinstate the common law in our federal and state courts. Take back control of orientating the grand and petit juries. End political parties. End the American Bar Association. And remove all lawless federal judges from the bench. Bar judges and bar legislators via the Rules Enabling Act abrogated the courts of justice, our courts of justice, by establishing the federal rules of civil procedure, and all 50 states followed suit. This gave the judges the authority to write rules that permit legislation from the bench. The federal rules of civil procedure abrogated the rules of common law and replaced it with civil law rules. Rule 2 abrogated the common law and replaced it with civil law. Rule 12.6b1 empowered judges the ability to throw out any case against the status quo. Rule 60b gave the judges the ability to set aside a default judgment. Rule 60e abolished writ quorum vobis, the sovereign common law right to file a writ of error directed to the court. Rule 60e abolished writ quorum nobis, the sovereign's common law right to file a writ of error directed to another branch of the court. Rule 60E abolished writ autoria quartella that protected a sovereign's right to obtain relief against the consequences of a judgment. Bar judges and legislators removed orientation of the grand juries from the people, gave it to the prosecutors to achieve their unlawful indictments. Bar judges removed the orientation of the petit juries, which permitted judges to force civil law on the juries and overturn jury decisions. As Lysander Spooner, author of Trial by Jury in 1952, so clearly pointed out, governments cannot decide the law or exercise authority over jurors, for such would be absolute government, absolute despotism. If the government can select the jurors, it will, of course, select those it supposes will be favorable to its enactments. And an exclusion of any of the freemen from eligibility is a selection of those not excluded. It will be seen from the statute cited that the most absolute authority over the jury box, that is, over the right of the people to sit in juries, has been usurped by the government. NLA, through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, has been active in the federal court since 2016 and is preparing indictments upon the federal judiciary and the Bar Association and orchestrating the return of jury orientation back to the people. Education starts here on a blue tab. Click on the education tab and you can follow the breadcrumb trail that we've laid out. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power knowledge gives. James Madison. NLA offers the following courses. We offer a free foundation study. This study is an introduction to our heritage. Free introduction to the Constitution course. This is an introduction to the founding documents. Free civics course. This course is an introduction to American history and how we lost control of our government. Free militia course. This course instructs us on the militia of the several states. Government by consent course. Must be a premier member. This course prepares us for government by consent. And a premier member is someone who is donating $5 a month or more. Jury administrators course. Also premier members. This course certifies jury administrators. Court access in the common law course. This is a paid course. It's $125. This course will teach due process, how our common law courts work, and the common law. It's a 90-hour course, and by the time you get to this course, you'll understand how the process works, the paperwork, everything necessary to go into any court, whether it's federal or state, and be able to take care of your own business. And by the way, we are offering this course totally free to all sheriffs and deputies. We have a campaign for constitutional sheriffs going, and maybe we'll talk about that a little tonight. So therefore, we're offering them this free course. There's a lot of things we're trying to do for the sheriffs and trying to get them together so that they start to exercise their duties, that is, to protect the law and to protect the people. We offer many free educational videos, Bible studies, all available in videos and audios. Samuel Adams said, if ever a time should come that when vain men and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will be in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin. We also offer a higher education in PDF books, videos, and audios. You'll find the Bible, John Locke, Hobbes, Spinoza, Berkeley, Hume, Newton, Bacon, Reed, Machiavelli, Colfer, Edwards, House, Euclid, Constant, Butler, Plato, Smith, Blackstone, and many biographies and autobiographies. Many other books and documents. You can download Bouvier's Law Dictionary, 1856. We have Black's Law Dictionary, second. We have Frederick Bassett, The Law, Common Sense by Thomas Paine. The First Continental Congress, 2009, Articles of Freedom, Federal Mafia, The Young American, Roosevelt Doctrine, The Militia Handbook, Robert's Rules of Order, American History Lectures, Thomas Woods, particularly, I think we have 20 of them up there, Christianity in America, The Federalist Papers, The Anti-Federalist Papers, Founding Fathers and the Political Parties, Founding Documents, The 5,000-Year Leap, Atlas Shrugged, and many articles and essays. And as a matter of fact, some of these are all in PDF form, downloadable, and some of them we have audio also. In the Federalist Papers, The Anti-Federalist, we have that in audio. You can read and listen at the same time. We also have The 5,000-Year Leap in both, and maybe a few others. Books by John Darash, there's many PDFs. These are all in PDFs available, and also available on Amazon. So if you wanted to buy the handbook, you could do that. But you can download all of these books on our website. We have the Common Law Grand Jury Handbook. We have the Common Law Petit Jury Handbook, the Committee of Safety Committeeman Handbook. We have the County Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook. We have the County Sheriff's Handbook, Founding Documents Handbook, Common Law Court Handbook, and the Jury Administrative Handbook. Also, we have two major books. They're hard copies, 8.5 by 11, 550 pages each, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law. Both of those books are in hardcover for $39.95. By the way, law books of this type and the kind of books we're writing, you go online to look for them, you'll find them over $100. We sell them as cheap as we can. We want to get education into the hands of the people and make a few bucks in order to support NLA. Creating a Committee of Safety starts here in the blue bar. Just click on Start a Committee of Safety and follow the breadcrumb trail. Plenty of information, lots of tools. The County Committee of Safety. The structure of the County Committee of Safety starts off with the chairman, the co-chairman, the secretary, and the treasurer. The first order of business is to follow step-by-step instructions in the County Committee of Safety organizing handbook and proposed charter and resolution forms found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbook. You'll find that right underneath the Start a Committee of Safety here. Once you have six or more people, organize your seminar to introduce the Committee of Safety to the people. For instructions and PowerPoint videos, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/organizing-your-county. Again, that'll be under Start a Committee of Safety tab. Contact Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org for a contact list of NLA members in your state. We'll give you all the names of the people within your state that have signed up with NLA, let you know what counties they're in, and give them your phone numbers. You know, it's important to make as much contact as you can, of course, first of all, with the people in your county. The second is the counties nearby, and really counties throughout the state. And you should always notify these people, get them in, and notify these people whenever you're having any kind of a meeting. And, you know, you really want to encourage them to start their own committees of safety. But it's good to invite those people from other counties to your orientation or the beginning, the first meeting that you have, and whatever they want to come to until they get their own started and you want to assist them. Plan and have your monthly meetings. Keep the first Monday of the month open for National Liberty Alliance's national meetings. Go to nationallibertyalliance.org /organizing-your-county for instructions and PowerPoint videos. If you need help or have any questions, come to any of our Monday night meetings. We meet, as I mentioned earlier, 9 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday till 11 p.m. You can ask John or myself or Gerard. Go to National Liberty Alliance /Monday call. Of course, you've been there already if you're at the meeting, for instructions to join our call. We will be posting this meeting in full video on our website. We'll put a message out to all of our members. And I'll show you the location in a few. Develop and adopt your own county committee of safety charter and resolutions. You can add to your charter at any future meeting. We've already put together, of course, the framework for that. We'd like to all try to stick together with the framework, but you know, everybody has their own problems in their different counties, and a lot of problems we share within our state, and a lot of problems we share nationally. So we want to work together as best we can on those things. We might find two or three or four solutions. People might choose one solution over another solution. That's the liberty of the people. Meet and bring your sheriff on board in your county committee of safety. We have a plan to do that. You find it in the handbook. Develop your educational committee first, because you can build your membership to hundreds quickly by visiting the education boards in each district. NLA will teach your committee how to force boards into submission. The County Committee of Safety is government by consent. The general subcommittees underneath the main committee is the Committee of Correspondence, the Educational Committee, Political Committee, Judicial Committee, Militia Committee, and other committees as necessary. We the people. Click on NLA's directory tab to find or start your County Committee of Safety. County Committees of Safety meetings, discussion, materials and topics. We have videos, PowerPoints, meeting protocols, venue ideas, topics of discussion, and much, much more, all found at nationallibertyalliance.org/handbook. I'm not going to read through all of these, but there's quite a bit of information, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. We have much, much more. We have forms and documents and aids, you know, how to approach the sheriff, a plan to approach the sheriff, a plan to educate your sheriff, a plan to connect your sheriff, a plan to connect your other sheriff with other sheriffs. This is all critical in order to bring back and protect our republic. You could search online, you know, you could just go online and run a search in your county school districts and colleges. Just for instance, I put a list on the left side of this page here. There's 13 school districts in Dutchess County, and I believe it's 7 colleges in Dutchess County. So it's quite a few school districts. And if you search your county real property and get a mailing addresses for all the residents on labels, they'll give it to you on labels. I know last time I bought them was a penny label, and they printed out his full name and address on these labels. Or you can get them on a CD, and you can print your own labels. And it's probably cheaper doing it that way. But you can get them by the school districts. Okay, in each one of these school districts, you can get it down on your real property. And you can search out your real property. Just put in, I believe, well, let me read through this. I think I explained it here. NLA will assist in the writing of notification of a meeting to discuss the problems, and then visit the town boards to demand obedience or face removal from the board. And the parents can then take all the board seats and then have control of their children's education. NLA will teach this process. The meeting should be done on a regular Committee of Safety meeting. What you want to do is you want to send this little postcard out. We'll probably write a couple of ideas on what you might put on that postcard, and of course you're free to alter that and put whatever you want. But the idea is to invite all of the people in a particular school district. You want to find out what school district you're going to go visit first, when the board meeting is meeting, and then you want to have a preliminary meeting. It'll be a meeting that's a regular Committee of Safety meeting. You'll start off your meeting in its regular process. Again, we have a protocol on how the meeting flows, but you should go immediately after the beginning of part of the protocol of just going over old business quickly. You want to get into the meeting because you're going to be inviting all of the people within that school district to come to that meeting and let it be known what we're coming for. We're going to be going to the board, the school boards, and we're going to take our schools back. And again, we'll write a couple of different ideas up on postcards, and and then you can alter that accordingly. The best way to do this is to buy a permit from the post office. It'll be a lot cheaper, and you're doing postcards, so it's even cheaper. And then all you have, and once you print these postcards off, you can run them off any computer. But once you print them off, you just will have all the addresses and everything on it. You're just going to have to put a label on it, and take it down to the post office, and mail it. And then, of course, you're going to want at that meeting, select a speaker. You're going to discuss the problems and the situations, what you want to cover, and then you're going to bring your demands in force to the board of school boards. If the school boards don't obey your desire, or the people, or the boss, and they don't want to hear it, there is a process to remove them all from the board, every single one of them. We could do this in town meetings too. We can remove the entire board. NLA will teach you how to do that. It's a pretty simple process. Let me get back to reading this. I'm going to pick up. I think I might have read this. The meeting should be done on a regular Committee of Safety meeting date, which should proceed as normal, but the only new business is the discussion concerning the school board. You should know the date of the next school board and board meeting, and then go and overwhelm them. This will not only take back our schools, but also will build your Committee of Safety membership by dozens. Every time you visit a school, you're probably going to build up membership in your Committee of Safety by dozens, maybe even hundreds, who knows. Depends on how many people respond to this. For instance, here, like I said, in Dutchess County, New York here, there's 13 school districts. So 13 times a few dozen is a lot of membership. Many hands make light work. And then you'll be able to cover a lot of people inside of all the subcommittees, get a lot of work done on the political committees, the judiciary committees, and all the other committees that you might want to bring together. NLA will propose a plan in greater detail as to how this can be accomplished. Come to our Monday national meeting on the first Monday of every month to learn more, or our weekly meetings for Q&A. You're always welcome to come to the regular Monday night meetings held between 9 and 11 right here in this room to ask any question or offer any comment or even corrections. There are 3,130 some odd counties in the United States. Patrick Henry said, "United we stand, divided we fall. Let us not split into factions which must destroy that union upon which our existence hangs." So we need to get together. Need to get together, sometimes just a couple of counties together to deal with some problems, depending on the issues. You might want to try to get together with all the counties within your state from time to time. And definitely on a national level, we want to get together time to time. Traditional power structures are orchestrated and designed to harness grassroots movements. They must always be suspect and will be proven corrupt if they are partisan, divisive, or takes control of choosing candidates and making decisions for the grassroots. Whereas grassroots are founded local, control is local, and most events are local. To collaborate with distant groups is necessary for unity. But if events become dictated by a national organization, you're no longer grassroots. NLA will never demand any Committee of Safety to do anything or act in any national way. We're here just to facilitate a place for communication, organization, and education. Education is the key to success. Without that education, we're going to lose our nation, and we're definitely not going to be able to take it back. United we stand. County Committee of Safety is government by consent. Okay, with that, we're going to open up for a conversation. We'll start off with questions, and then we'll see where the comments go to or questions go. Let me repeat what I said a little earlier. Right now we have two people in the queue. We'll start off with a conversation with one person. If anybody wants to pipe into that particular issue, you'll need to get into the queue. And once you're in the queue, raise your hand. And when we see your hand raised, we know that you have a comment or something to add to the conversation at hand. Once you're in the queue, if you don't have a question or a comment after that, you can just remove yourself from the queue. Meanwhile, whoever's in the queue will take the people as they enter the queue in the order that they enter the queue. So there should be a button if you're coming in on an app. There is a button if you're in on a browser. And if you're on a phone, it's a *6 and a 1 to get into the queue. Okay, first person we're going to take, it looks like Richard, 701. You can tell us what state you're in. You got the mic. Richard, 701, phone number. You got the mic. Area code 701. All right, 701 again, you there? All right, we'll go to the next person. Looks like Joanne. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? There's nobody in the queue right now. Joanne, 208, what state are you from?
Can you hear me, John?
I can hear you. Okay, it doesn't sound like Joanne.
New York. On the end of Whatcom County, Washington State.
Okay.
The question I had is in relation to how these committees of safety are going to integrate with the assemblies that are happening across the country. And the focus of that really is that we know that the Michigan Jural Assembly is held to have the original properly settled covenant, and they're recognized by the military and the UN to be with the power of the people. And through national-assembly.net, this process is being followed throughout the states. I was wondering if you guys here at NLA, with safety committees, are, if we have something that can be congruent, that works in unison one with the other, if the committees of safety are like a springboard for the assemblies, or how that works exactly. Because I realize that, I'm sure we all realize, improving our numbers significantly is what's going to bring the actual power to the people that were, you know, trying to affect these changes. And I was wondering what your thoughts on that were, John.
Okay, yeah, those assemblies, I believe, were brought together by Anna von Ritz. We are not compatible with what they're doing. We have a whole different plan and a procedure, shall I say. We're following our founding fathers and what they did. We're not looking for anybody else other than the people to take control. You know, a republic is supposed to be by the people. At least we're a natural republic. We're the only common law, natural law republic in the world. There was only one before us, and that goes back to the nation of Israel. We're the second. England was very close, but they never accomplished that goal. We are founding, the procedures and the processes our founding fathers set forth. Our purpose is to reinstate the Constitution. If you look deep into assemblies, they got a lot of mixed bags and a lot of people changing things, and probably rightly so for certain things. But generally speaking, Anna von Ritz's idea was really to rewrite the Constitution. That is part of the plan. Also, that movement didn't exist until a little time after we started moving through this process. And then they tried to connect with us, and then all of a sudden, this group was everywhere, and I guess they had a lot of money behind them. You know, we're on the widow's mite, so to speak. We don't have money. Whatever the people give us, we got. And we don't have lawyers or anybody working for us. We're all self-educated, going through the court system. We've been in the court since 2016. National Liberty Alliance was originally formally established in the end of 2013. But many of us have been in the movement since 1999, 2000. I know that's when I started. And I know Gerard, which is a co-founder here, he started off as early as that too. So we've been in this process for quite some time, looking at lots of things on figuring out what we can do to save this nation. How can we form something? And we got together, you know, we're with the Ron Paul movement. Before that, we were with We the People by Robert Schultz. We were also with the Glenn Beck and and the Tea Party, and until the Tea Party was taken over by some national group. Then we went into the Committeeman, only to find that the Committeeman is totally polluted. There is no power, no authority, totally controlled, run by party bosses, and they're never going to take this nation back or do anything. And then we fell upon a court case, which led us through the process of the grand jury. And then we built off of that to build first we built, of course, National Liberty Alliance, and eventually the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, which is active. We've got hundreds of cases in the federal courts. We've got a couple of cases trying to push up into the United States Supreme Court. We're also in the process of writing a paper, which we've kind of filed a lot of these papers already, but we're writing a paper, and a lot of our papers really is just nails in their coffin. It's a lot of it is just proof of the fact that there is a conspiracy, because whether you go into a court in New York in the Southern District, or you go up into the Northern District, or you go out to Jersey or California, all the judges are doing the same thing. They're throwing people out of the court, maintaining a status quo, rejecting and denying and not obeying the law at all. They don't even obey the law that they made. They break it on a regular daily basis. They make it up as they go. They call common law decisions by court cases that they have decided. So they decide court cases, and then they call that law, and they rise it up in another court case and call that common law, and says rules the court. A lot of major problems. But in any event, no, we are not compatible with the assembly at all. They have a whole different strategy and philosophy, and I do believe, they're going down the wrong path. They are looking to change the Constitution.
May I?
By the way, we've connected. We've had conversation, well, kind of in a roundabout way with Anna von Ritz through emails. And again,
no Anna von Ritz.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
We do not through nationalassembly.net. There's absolutely no allowance for AVR processes.
What's ADR?
I think there's some confusion here as to
what's ADR? What's ADR?
Anna von Ritz.
Oh, okay. Well, you see, the thing is this. They splintered off there. There were, as I mentioned a little while ago when I was talking, there are some of these groups that kind of split away from her, but they're still following a process. Look, we're following what our founding fathers did. That's what we're doing. That's what we discovered. That's what we're teaching. If you read the books, I've written two major books, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law. If you read those books, you'll find it's filled with footnotes, completely filled with footnotes. Anything we do, any paper we write, and we've written hundreds of papers, we've filed hundreds of papers. And if you look at any of our papers, you'll find footnotes. Footnotes give authorities. If you go to these assemblies, you'll find that authority. And if you dig down deep, at least in the major beginning of this whole thing, it was to get rid of the Constitution and rewrite it. Okay, they think that they can do a better job than our founding fathers. Nevertheless, there's too much chaos there. We're not here for chaos. We're developing a process that our founding fathers developed. They ran through this. They going all the way back to the Pilgrims, as a matter of fact, when they landed here. And so we're following that process, and as our founding fathers developed it, and we're following the Constitution. We're educating people. We also... It's a wrongdoing to teach people how to form a grand jury or how to get involved in the courts in that fashion, particularly as a grand jury, that being not educated. It's a wrongdoing to try to put people into power that don't even know the Constitution themselves. It's a wrongdoing, and it's an impossibility to have government by consent if you don't even know when the people that we voted into positions or were put there appointed positions, when they don't even know the Constitution and they're violating the Constitution on a daily basis. And I can tell you, and I know this is a fact, 90% of what government does, and I think that's a very low number, 90% of what they do is unconstitutional. People don't even understand where the Democrat Party came from and how we became fractured into parties. Republics does not have a party. If you have political parties, you have two, and you have one side against the other. Individuals need to go into the to become, particularly if they're going to be a legislator, they don't need to be in parties because they collect together and they form these coalitions and they get all this money. You see how that works in Washington with all that funny money. all these special interest groups coming in and paying them for this, that, and the other thing, and to do things that are unlawful to begin with. So the bottom line though is there's nothing for these people to discuss on that level. We sent them there with a job, and that job we gave them, we laid it out very clearly, and particularly for the legislators, we laid it out in Article 1 of the Constitution. We've given them 18 powers, 18 things to talk about, 18 things to think about, 18 things to develop and create law on. And they went far beyond that, okay? And they don't have that power or authority to do it, but they do. The only purpose that parties have, two parties, is in order to get out there and argue and debate about the First Amendment, about your Second Amendment, about the Fifth Amendment, and about the Constitution itself. The way we elect our president, if people want to change that. They don't understand the uniqueness and of the way that we elect our president. So there's many things. But anyway, no, we are definitely not compatible with that group. We have no part. Anybody that develops a committee of safety and is attached to that group, then we'll just develop a committee of safety in that county and do the best we can to bring people back under the law, under the Constitution, under the process of the Founding Fathers, and not under that process. But anyway, if you want to have a thought about it, go right ahead.
Yeah, some thoughts that I had is that, first of all, I've been studying some of your stuff, and I really like what you do. I don't know if you remember, I actually volunteered to help you with the writ of mandamus and doing some of the editing on it. And before it went. Yeah.
And we could still use that in many things if you want to help us, because we need help.
I like where you're coming from, and I everything you have to say is valid, and I fully understand that. I recognize it, and I know the things that you speak of. And the reason I bring up this particular assembly is just for the fact that you realize we're under a continuity of government at the moment, which means we're under military rule. Well, the military, as Trump has given military basically the power right now over our government, they're the ones that have come in and told this assembly that Michigan had done it properly in order for the people to proceed.
Trump has not done that. Trump hasn't acknowledged any of those things. I don't know if they told you that, but that's not true. Look at war. We've even made contact with the military also. We're not the only ones. They're not the only ones. And we have the Hanson brothers, I think that's their last name. They made contact with the military in order to get things done with the Supreme Court, and it looked like things maybe went a certain way with that. But we're working on the same kind of an issue. We're trying to bring the court of record, which is common law, back into our court.
Right. Because
now it's not there anymore. We can't have havoc. We can't have I don't want to. I don't want to discourage anybody from doing anything. Whatever they want to do, they'll do it. Everybody doing a little of something helps. But there are forces out there. I will tell you right now, the devil's out there. You better be careful, because groups look to grab a hold of any kind of a movement. They've tried to grab this movement numerous times. We've had numerous different individuals try to take control of this particular, what we got here, National Liberty Alliance, take over National Liberty Alliance, to move it in a different direction, to control it. We've been offered big dollars from the Pope, or from Rome. Okay, we were offered money from Rome way back in the beginning. And Anovon Ritz was in there somewhere. And then that became popular after that thing. All of a sudden, she started doing what we're doing and went out there. But it's a different thing. Be careful. Do your homework. And all I can tell you is this. We read about this in the Bible. We read about this in the Declaration of Independence. Truth is self-evident. So all you have to do is listen. Listen for a while. Look for consistency or inconsistency, and truth will show itself. Or it will be known as a lie or deceit or whatever. And I believe
that. It seems well founded on both ends, and I'm wondering if there's a way we can have a conversation between everybody. My goal is to make sure that everybody gets on board of something that is proper, everybody, so that we're not divided anymore. See, they're laughing at us, in my estimation, because we're unable to coordinate everybody together. And I don't know if that's because of egos or if that's, you know, because everybody believes they have the right thing. And I see that everybody seems to be doing things properly. Well, not everybody, but the main groups, the ones which I speak, you and as well as those in the assembly, well, in this particular one. So I guess my thought is, how do we coordinate all of this together so that we can come under one umbrella and really come forth as a people with power?
Well,
that's my hope is.
Look, people want to work with the assembly to do that. That's fine. I have found too many problems with that. We're not compatible with them. We got a plan and a program. Like I said, I'll say it again. We're formed after what our founding fathers did to create this nation, who they were, what they did, and how they controlled it after we became a nation. And we've lost all that. We're just trying to raise it back up. I'd rather follow them than some other kind of a plan. And again, you know, education is the key to this whole thing. I don't know that anybody's got anything near what we have. We have courses, all these courses that we've spoken about. Again, you can find them under the Education Starts Here, and you come down to courses. We've got Foundation course. We have Introduction to the Constitution course, the Free Civics course, we Government by Consent course, the Militia course, and we have a Jury Administrators course. We also have a course equal to that of what the bar is taught to go into schools to become lawyers. We teach better and more than what they teach. We teach it from the common law process side of things. But the process of due process, the procedure of due process is the same, whether it's in the civil law courts, which they operate, or if it's in the common law courts, the process is the same. So we teach the process, and then we teach the common law. So anyway,
excellent.
Look, it's just...
No, I love what you do, John. I love what you do.
If we got counties, we're trying to make things so that we're interchangeable to each other and yet remain unique in control of our own counties. Look, everything is grassroots. Every county has unique problems that is different than the county next door, across the river from you, or whatever the case may be. But then there are a lot of problems that's similar to the other counties, and we can work together in those things. And there are problems that are similar state to state. We need to be able to work back, you know, together with each other. We need to be formed in a certain way. You know, we have to have the necessary paperwork in order to form. We have to have resolutions. We have to, first of all, create a charter, and then we have to go through process and procedure in a certain way. We have to know what a fully informed jurist is, and we need to talk about that because you need to have a judicial committee, and the purpose of that really is to assist the administrators for the juries, those who we orientate the jury. So. That, of course, is a necessity. The political jury is extremely important. You know, the committee men was the original committee safety. They were morphed into what's called, well, they've always been called the committee men. Okay, you go all the way back to Washington's day, they were called the committee men, but they've been captured. They statutorized them. They brought a process. They gave every county a county boss, a state boss, and a national boss. They have total control. Everything's done in secret. They make things look real nice, but everything is, you know, it doesn't matter in the Republican or the Democratic Party. At the end of the day, you got the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. You got your choices. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Occasionally, a good person gets in. God, by God's mercy, in 2017, we had an individual who's looking to really bring things back, probably understands the problems better than any of us because he's been rubbing shoulders with all these maniacs and because they're the ones that control the economy of the world. But anyway, we have to be compatible together. We have to structure ourselves the same way. We have to come with a basic structure of resolutions. We have to talk with our sheriff in a certain way. We have to come to an agreement and an understanding and a knowledge of the militia and how the militia actually works and who's the authority of the militia. You know, the sheriff can call the militia, the governor could call the militia, and the president can call the militia. And you know, so, and every person in the state is part of the militia. If you look at New York State Constitution, it says that very thing, that the people are the militia, and when called into duty, they have to defend our borders. And that's in the Constitution of New York, believe it or not. But We also have the grand jury and how that process works. And we're building four administrators in every county, which is a paid position, it's a career position, to take back away from the government the control over our juries. We have to have free and independent juries. We have to have fully informed juries. And a fully informed juror, you'll see a fully informed juror and understand it if you read the two handbooks that we wrote. But yes, we got to move on from the conversation, but we're not compatible with them. No, not at all. So they have a different direction, and we could never get on the same page. But if they're doing good work, God bless them. Let them do it. We're going to do what we got to do. Okay?
Keep in touch with me, please, John.
Well, no, absolutely. Look, drop an email to Jan and tell them what you think you can help us with. And then we'll be having a meeting, hopefully, for people who want to help. We need all kinds of help. You know, we need people to help us as coordinators to help assist the committees of safety. And that would be the Committee of Correspondence. For National Liberty Alliance, we'll have a Committee of Correspondence in order to communicate with all the committees and feed them everything that we possibly can feed them and answer everything that every question they can possibly ask. If we don't know the answers, we'll search it out and we'll find it. But again, we get back to control. We have no intention of controlling any group, but we do ask that form your committees the way we structure, because this is the proper way, and our founding fathers did it this way, and it's a way that we can now be interchangeable, because we're all doing things in the same way. It's the structure. Okay?
Excellent. We'll be in touch with you for sure.
Thanks a
we'll
lot.
Keep on
board. Okay. All right, we'll take our next person. Next
John,
question.
if you please, I just wanted to bring up the obvious. If the assemblies, and I don't see that they're constitutional, I see that they're from Old England. I don't see them in my studies. It's the Committee of Safety, just as you say. But if they're recognized by the UN and the state, well, the state is thoroughly corrupt. If the state weren't thoroughly corrupt, we wouldn't be in the problems that we're in. They're all the same way. They're all corrupt from the bottom up. From the bottom up, top down. And then the UN is a globalist organization, so they can go straight to hell. So if the assemblies are recognized and championed by both the UN and the state, that I think that should tell you enough right there, and I yield.
All right, thank you, Eric. Yeah, it's the people that got to run everything. People 100% control. Okay, we just give the education. That's all we do. And then we offer a place to meet so we can talk about things. And we may come up with one great idea. People will come up with other ideas, discuss it, and then people do whatever they want. But the thing is we need to do something, and we need to try to work together as much as we possibly can. But again, we get back to each county has their own personal situations and problems. Okay, we got the 701 open again. Area code 701. We didn't get to hear a voice before. You got your mic is open. It looks like Richard or Kennedy, 701. You got an open mic. We're not hearing you. You must be muted on your side. I see a green light next to you. Now you're muted. Yep, there you go. You're unmuted. You probably hit a star 601. You're unmuted. Go right ahead. Not getting anything yet. All right, you might want to try to get back in. See if you can get that button. Yeah, try one more time. It looks like you're trying to get sound across, but we're not hearing nothing. And you are unmuted. You could be muted on your end, though. All right, we'll have to go to the next person. Get back in the queue, see if you can't fix that problem. Okay, we're going to the next person, Cassandra. Is that how you pronounce that name?
Cassandra.
Go right ahead, Cassandra.
I'm from Arizona, Coconino County.
Okay.
I'm still trying to find, you know, some other people to assume the roles. I have interests, but nobody that wants to take that responsibility or, you know, even if it's temporary. Yeah. So I'm just kind of going to push along and keep trying to spread the word. I was curious about the militia, though. Are they, they're not statewide, right? So it would be just my county. I'm looking for people in my county.
Well, the way militias are organized, we wrote a handbook on this. Actually, Brent Winters wrote the handbook. Well, he had written this information before, and I got his permission to put it into a handbook. And so we have that handbook free of charge. You can download it in PDF form. And it explains how the militia is structured, the education of the militia, the legalities and the authorities and how things work. And he did a lot of good homework on this. Brent Allen Winter is an author. He wrote the book Excellence of the Common Law and many, many other books. And he teaches the common law. He's a common law lawyer. And he wrote that, like I said, he wrote that information or that brochure or the book, whatever you want to call it, about the militia. It wasn't in book form. So we put it in a handbook form and give it away for free. Now, what we teach is the militia is the last thing you develop, in the sense that you want to develop your committee of safety and work on that, because as you're developing your entire committee of safety, you're actually developing the militia. And we have to become educated and understand how that process works and what the authorities are. And again, that handbook will teach it, and then you work with your sheriff on that. It's definitely a conversation you want to have with your sheriff, because your sheriff can call forth the capaci comitatus, which is the people or the militia. And the governor can pull again together, but it's done in divisions, and they become official in a sense that we become a organized or an unorganized. We're more on the unorganized, but as time goes on and we develop throughout the counties, we become to some degree an organized militia. And then you have to turn your authority over to the state, for the state to have certain authority over that militia. But the unorganized militia will always be available also. So even though we have the National Guard, it's not really the way our founding fathers put it together, but it'll do for right now. But we need to think about that when we get to a little later in time. We've got a lot of problems to think about and try to discuss and figure out. But in time, we'll work it out.
Okay. And then my other question was for like the national emergency plans, if like say at my the firefighters have something in place, do I get theirs and kind of go off of that, or do we kind of start our own? I mean,
say this again. What to start with?
If there's like a national emergency,
okay,
something like that.
Yeah. Well, we do have a plan that we've written up and put out there, I think people can adopt that plan, and they can alter that plan as they want, of course. And let me see what we have here. There is something here we have on that. Trying to think where I put it. It's under today's issues. Nope, it should be under here.
While you're looking,
find it under the handbooks. Because as you come under the handbooks, come down to the bottom, and there's tremendous amount of information here. PDFs. We have videos. We have PowerPoints. We have all kinds of things that you can share at your meetings, because you need to get educated. Every meeting you have, you should have some time for education. Okay, so you can run a short video, for instance, and discuss it. We give venue ideas, the monthly meeting protocols. We lay that whole thing out on this page. It's also in the handbook. Download the videos for your counties. Memorandums of law, that's something to discuss, important to understand the law. And then we get into some information on what you're talking about. Every town should build a, how do you pronounce that? I'm not sure. Let me see. I'm not sure how to, a quinopenny. Anyway, I don't know how to pronounce that. But anyway, it's really growing food out of water. And it's really an interesting process. But every town, counties really should get together in towns and take care of their own food. You know, here in New York, we're kind of position, because a lot of farm in New York, you can buy fresh food, there's all kinds of things, cattle, everything in New York. But anyway, that's information on food. But as far as emergencies are going, we do have a plan. I don't know that I have it listed on this page, and if not, I'll take a look at it. If I don't have it here, I'll put it up here. And then people can work off that plan and design their own. But that's something you want to discuss with your sheriff, too. And that's why you want to connect with the sheriff. And the sheriff plan might take, from the point in time when you got your first meeting, It may take 2 or 3 months before you actually have your real serious meeting with your sheriff, because the first order of business is to really get a little bit organized. You want to get your charter together, your resolutions. You want to put it together and package it and bind it. You could go down to Staples or Office Max or whatever and get it bounded if you don't have a binder yourself. Pretty cheap to buy a binder. And then you have your this book that you put together and who you are, and the committee then goes to the sheriff and, you know, makes arrangements to have a 5 or 10 minute meeting with the sheriff. You're going to want to give him a copy of the book, Government by Consent. We have handbooks. You can get them in PDF form, or you can buy the handbooks.
I already have that one.
Yeah, for the sheriff. And yep. Then the sheriff. So when you visit your sheriff, it's a very short meeting, the first one. You're introducing yourself. You're giving him a copy of who you are as a people in that county as far as the charter and the resolutions are concerned. He's going to like that very much. He's going to see the order, the way it's laid out. It's very lawful. And then you're giving him a book that's going to give him an understanding of the common law and of course, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all of our founding documents. Then you're going to say, well, look, we'd like to get together with you in a month or so. We just wanted to give you all this material, introduce ourselves, and let you know who we are as a people. So please, we'll give you a call and come to one of the meetings. And then you bring the sheriff to the meeting. Now he's been fully informed. And if he's not on board, it's time for you people to look for to replace that sheriff.
Recall, yeah.
Come now, knowledgeable enough, quick enough, you can recall him. If the new election is coming up, you're going to want to find someone who's constitutional. But most sheriffs are ignorant and they don't realize. And if you can enlighten them, you know, minds are changed by enlightenment. Enlighten your sheriff. You'll be surprised what could potentially happen. So,
okay.
Let me open up Corey here, because it looks like he wants to enter this part of the conversation. Cody, go right ahead. Cody, your mic is open. You can jump into the conversation if you want.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
Yes. My name is Cody, Mr. Williams. I've been practicing common law for a good amount of time now. I've had a lot of success. Recently, my wife suffered from postpartum, and she dialed 911, and, you know, they showed up at my house in a completely different county, and we've been going back and forth battling DCF. Now, in the past, it was just me. I've always used common law, and it's always worked. As far as talking about trust and establishing that I'm the beneficiary and putting them in a court of equity. So now I'm getting ready to fill out some documents because even her sister, they denied, who's a paralegal, by the way, they denied her having access to our children. They won't place our children anywhere else. I got my mother who lives in
Texas. Right, but we don't want to talk too much about a court case or legal situation at this meeting tonight. I mean, we could bring this up next Monday if you want, and we can maybe give you some assistance. Are you looking for some help in this or some advice?
Yeah, I would love to have a little bit of help and insight as far as my documents.
Yeah, I can give you. We can give you some advice and thoughts. Have you taken? Are you in the course? Court access in common law.
As far as the whole freedom aspect, I have a lot of insight as far as I think we should probably talk privately as far as like the way how the court access works and
what we can do, Cody, if you come in on a regular Monday night meeting, we can discuss things. You first want to make sure that you're reasonably educated in due process. And I'm scrolling through a page right now, which is everything that we teach in our course. It's a 90-hour course. It's really, you know, very deep course, and it covers everything the way the court process works. You get through this course and you will know how to write every paper, how to file your papers, how to do motions. You'll get to know the whole process, but you'll also get to know the common law. You'll get to know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and certain court cases that are very powerful and strong that you want to kind of keep. We teach memorandums. We got lots of memorandums that you can use. You can change them however you want. Lots of case examples. See, once you get through that structure, and then you're running a case, and then if you need some ideas or some advice, then you know we'll be able to fill some of the blank spots that you might have to give you some assistance in your case in that fashion. But I don't have the time to meet with people individually. I'm too busy doing this,
That's not a problem. I absolutely agree, and I'm going to do the course. I would like to add that I do have a bit of knowledge, and could have been when I signed up, I told you my grandfather was a judge, and I do have a good bit of insight as far as the way our trust works and how to get people, if you're trying to free people, as far as getting them out of the court system, I think the most important thing.
We don't want to get too much into this conversation right now, but we can talk about this next week if you want. I do have a book that's free. It's in PDF form that I'll post. Someone asked about trust last week, and I didn't have time to look into it yet. I think we already have it up on the site, but if we don't, I'll put it up on the site. And it's a book. It's a PDF document. You download it, and it gives you the procedure on how to create a common law trust.
Yeah, if you can give me, I do have the Minnesota Common Law Trust. I have several trusts.
All right, well, you know what you want to do? Here's what you want to do. Just send an email to jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. Tell them you want to help on the national level, and let them know some of the things that you're good at that you think you'd be able to help us with. And again, we are looking for district leaders, and district coordinators, shall I call them, really.
To
help us.
I've won several court cases. I've won several of them
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it on a regular Monday night, okay? Because this is a special meeting tonight. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. All right. Okay, we're going to take on. Are we done, Cassandra?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to our next caller. Sulu, how you doing?
Good evening. Yes, John, good evening. My first question is that, the courses that we were taking on Saturday, that's not still happening, is it?
Well, that's a completed course, and matter of fact, we're looking at it right here. This is the course that we did because we recorded every one of the courses. It's Court Access Recorded Video Course. It's right here. It's found under Education Starts Here. Come down to Court Access in the Common Law, and you'll find the table of contents, which I just breezed through a few minutes ago, and the recorded video courses. And we also have them in MP3. So all these are videos. They're 3 to 4 hours long, each one of these videos. Was done on a Saturday over a long period of time, and then we also have this in MP3s. I always suggest people to go through the course video-wise all the way through carefully, slowly, maybe rewinding and whatever you have to do. But once you're done with that, then you download the MP3s, and then you can be listening to those while you're in your car or, you have an MP3 player on your smartphone or whatever. Whenever you have time, you're listening to it in the background. And that's how I did a lot of my studying. I always try to get a lot of MP3s and just listen to them all the time after I've researched through the main part of the studies. But anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, because I did take, I was listening to live, but then I go back and listen to it, but I haven't finished most of it, so I need to finish that and take the
What we're doing here, this course here, we have a sheriff's page here, and this is an important page. As a matter of fact, we have Join Our Campaign for Constitutional Sheriffs. People should read this, especially people starting committees of safety. But basically, if you come to the sheriff's page here, on this page here, we have a lot of information for sheriffs. We have some videos on sheriffs, but we have handbooks for sheriffs. and we try to lead the sheriffs in. We're working on a, every sheriff in New York has a book, Government by Consent, and we've spoke to some sheriffs, and they're already changing their thinking, at least the ones we've spoken to. So now we're going to try to invite these sheriffs to come on board here to National Liberty Alliance, and we're offering all sheriffs and all deputies the courses for free. Okay, because every sheriff should know how the court system works. They should know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They should know the common law. They should understand their oath. And this course will more than helpful be helpful to for them to understand their oaths. And but also, this course, eventually, we will put together a written test for this course. We haven't had the time to do it, but eventually we will do that. And we will strongly suggest that at any committees of safety, if you're supporting anybody for any elected office, even for, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the town board or the dog catcher, it doesn't matter. If they're going to run for office, they should know the law, they should know the, you know, the Constitution, they should know that the law is the common law. So if you're going to support them, you should send them out here to take this course. Because then, okay, by the course, they will understand the Constitution and the law of the land. And again, we will eventually create a test. So anybody that takes the test and passed the test, then we can give them a certificate. And you would want anybody that's running for office to have that certificate in their hand. Because right now, we have people running for office that make it up as they go. They have no clue on what the Constitution says. Hmm. And that's been our ignorance.
So the sheriff's course, anybody can take that, right?
Oh yeah, it's the okay. same course. The course is court access and the common law. Anybody who can have that, you'll get information. You'll get the first session. You can listen to the first session of the course. It's 3.5 hours long, and we give a quick outline here of what we cover in this course. Okay. Once you're in the course, we have, of course, the table of contents, and that table of contents gets very deep. And we cover everything you're going to see on this page right now here. Every single line we've taught and talked about, have information on. We didn't go through each of the constitutions for the states, but we've gone through all of these issues, all of these things. This is a complete course on court access and the common law together. So.
Well, I just want to say thank you for all your hard works and all those that who are making this happen. We do pray for you, and also we want to support, you know, your vision, which is everybody needs to support. So, but yes, my last question. I was the one that asked you about the common law trust last week.
So, right. We'll bring it up next week and we'll talk about it, because I do remember that, and I thought about it, but I didn't have time to look for it, and I figured we'll talk about it next week. So I will get that for you, okay?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Just real quick, this is the page where we will be posting tonight's meeting and the first meeting of every month, which will be for the committees of safety, particularly to try to discuss different issues. This is where we'll post it. It's found under Starter Committee of Safety. And just click on National Monthly Meeting. And so we'll post our first meeting here. Now, this is a list of issues that we might want to discuss. Well, we definitely, a lot of these we want to discuss. We'll want to try to pick up the most important ones first. I haven't put them in any kind of an order. I think they're in alphabetical order, maybe. I think they are. But we want to talk about abrogation of the United States. How was it done? What are we doing to fix that problem? We do have a plan. Abrogation of the law of the land. What are we going to do to fix that problem? How did it happen? We do have a plan. National Liberty Alliance has a plan on all these issues. And so we'd like to lay those plans out. You can read about these plans and get information. We talk about family courts. We did a memorandum on the law of family courts and the problems and how we're going to deal with this problem. We need to fix these problems. Like I said, we've been in the courts since 2016. We filed hundreds of cases. We filed habeas corpuses. We filed non-judicial foreclosures going after these courts that are running non-judicial foreclosures and taking people's homes, whether it be mortgage or regular foreclosures from the bank. They're all unlawful. Can't be done, and they do it all day long. So this is big problems, you know. We talk about the petit jury. We talk about habeas corpus, talk about the grand jury. We make a case for a Bible in school. So these are a lot of issues we need to talk about. And again, you'll find a lot of this stuff or even other issues and different issues under Starter Committee and Safety come down to your handbooks. And when you get down below on the lower end of this, you'll find issues to be discussed. We need to become educated in all these things. We need to know the truth about slavery in America and the truth about the Democratic Party. I think we have to have a conversation about the Democratic Party, the Republican Party too, but particularly the Democratic Party. We need to understand where they came from and how they developed and their purpose. They're the ones that turned us into a democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a republic, a natural law republic. But yet they take that, and that started in the very beginning in the debates for that we know of and see as the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And the Anti-Federalist Papers tried to fix and create some of the problems and the deficiencies of the Federalist Papers. And so we need to bring this into discussion. People need to understand. We may not be able to recall these things, but have the knowledge and an understanding of the things is the framework of being able to really put this whole thing together. And whatever specialty you want to specialize in, that's fine. And many hands make light work. So when a committees of safety comes together, you have people in different committees, people doing different things, studying different things, looking at things. But collectively, you've got a lot of information. And whatever you lack, you can always come to NLA here, and we can try to help you find the information. But anything else, Shula? We're done, Shula?
Yes, I'm done. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Okay, let's take Anthony. Looks like Anthony from West Virginia. You got the mic.
Yep. How you doing, John?
Good, thank you. And by the way, we only have a few people in the queue. Anybody wants to get into the queue or enter the conversation, raise your hand. Go ahead, Anthony.
We have a good turnout tonight?
Well, a little better than normal. I was hoping to get, we have 150 some odd committees of safety, and we don't have 150 communities of safety on. But it's a beginning, we're going to post this meeting, and I'll send the message out. Hopefully people will connect. If we're all doing different things and organizing in different ways and having different plans, and not following first order of business, then we're not going to be together and we're not going to unite. And united we stand, and we'll just be divided, so we'll continue to fall. But we have to get the message out. And that's why we really need a hold of getting enough district coordinators to really make that contact to help these people down on the grassroots level to develop their committees of safety. And by the way, anybody developing a committee of safety, I think I read this in our introduction tonight, but I'll bring it up again. If you send Jan a note that you're developing a committee of safety, your name should be up on the directory. The directory is found here under directory, obviously. Just click on directory, and you'll see the 10 districts that we've broken up that we need district leaders for, district coordinators. And then you can come down to your state. And if you click on your state, you'll find out, how many committees of safety there are. We have 705 members in New York. We're 62 counties, and we have 5 committees of safety in process. So any of these people can call up. Just send Jan an email. Say, I'm signed up as one of the committee of safety leaders here, and just tell them where, what state, what county. And then he'll email you out a list of every member in the state, and he'll give you the phone numbers. You'll get and it'll be done by counties. So these are the people in this
county.
Yeah,
we've done that. I've got all of those. I've got all those for District 7.
And you should be able to glean some help out of that and get some interest. You'll find a lot of people are falling asleep, but you got to try to wake them up.
The effort that I've put in making phone calls is it's a very slow, slow process. Mm-hmm. A lot of the numbers aren't good. And then, you need to leave a voicemail message a lot of times. I've only been able to actually connect to two people that where they called me back. Most people, you call from an out-of-state number, and they won't even pick up the phone the way people are today. Yeah. I was wondering if you had any ideas on how to mobilize the 14,000 people that we have on the rolls. I know you don't like emails, and I don't like emails either.
But we are trying.
If you have any ideas about that.
Yeah, we are trying. Look, we do have, I think you're right. Let me see how many members we have. A lot of people fall asleep. They come up, and some people don't even remember that they signed up, and that's a shame.
Right.
But we have, sure. We have 11,000 people, not 14. So we have 10,003 people.
Okay.
And we do send emails out on a week, every week before a Monday night call. And I send out special emails from time to time. I do my best to really energize them. I think we need more pain, unfortunately. You know, we haven't begun the pain that's about to come upon the people of the United States and probably the people of the world. We have not begun. There's food shortages.
I hope we could bypass that.
Well, we're not going to. We can't.
Bypass that and just use word-of-mouth advertising. Word-of-mouth advertising is the best advertising ever. It's like I was at a meeting tonight with some fellow veterans, and there was 10 of us there, plus one other guy who was facilitating the meeting, you might say. And I made a general announcement about tonight's call. And they all looked like, like it was deers looking at the headlight. I mean, I didn't get any positive, what do you mean, restore our republic? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are guys that are close to my age. We went to Vietnam together, and they've got no clue. I didn't see one patriot in that whole group just when I made that announcement. I was flabbergasted. I thought I'd get at least two or three people, saying, oh, yeah, what we got to do, we got to do something. But it was like they were shaking their heads. I mean, what do these guys do? They just collect their check and lay down and get up in the next day and then do it again without any consideration about, anything.
It's
really hard. I was amazed.
They need to suffer. They're going to suffer, and you're going to suffer with them, and I'm going to suffer with them because there's no other way. Look, our food supply is destroyed. There's going to be food
the
out there.
The pipeline is everything. They're destroying the pipeline.
Well, they shut that was the first thing. First day Biden came into office, he shut the pipeline down. And the problem now with that is that, he put out all of that reserve that Trump put away. Many, many millions of barrels of oil, and they've been subsidizing the oil, that we do buy now, and subsidizing with the reserves to keep the price down. And last week I heard we had about 15 more days left before that goes. Fuel's going to double, trucking is going to double, ships aren't moving. They're backing up down in Panama and offshore in various places. All kinds of problems are happening. There's going to be a beef shortage. There's shortage on everything. Eventually, there's going to be a shortage. Prices, look what prices are at now. I was looking in the store, $7.50 for a pound of butter right now in New York. I mean, that's where we're at. And it's going to get worse. And it's got to get worse until the people wake up. And when the people finally wake up, that's when it'll get better. Until then, it's got to go worse. This is the only way to save the nation. So we're going through.
I've got a hint for you, John. I've got a hint for you when it comes to buying beef. Is anybody out there familiar with a social website called Gab, GAB.com?
Gab. It sounds familiar. Tell us about it.
Gab is starting what they call a parallel economy, a parallel economy that's separate from the main economy. There are some beef dealers, I think at least one, maybe two beef dealers now, that are selling beef on Gab, and it's totally well-fed beef. You buy, a certain part of the cow or whatever it is, and it's an alternative place to shop. Just look for Gab, and it's going to be the parallel economy. Most of the people advertise right on the regular post to go through when you're reading headlines or whatever. It's a free speech website, so you're going to get all kinds of crazy things there. But there's all kinds of truth there as well if you know how to filter it out.
Mm-hmm. And that's G-A what? G-A-B?
GAB.com.
Okay. Well, interested in that. I know here in New York, you know, we have slaughterhouses. We have people that raise beef, and these are grass-fed. That's important. You know, the food you buy in the store is all poison, and it's all got problems. And if you buy the beef in the major stores, you get grass-fed cattle. And it's not natural for them to be feeding, being fed grain. They need to be fed grass. And so there's a lot of problems with not getting the supplements or the vitamins that you might get out of beef, you're not getting it. And here, you know, for me in New York, the sad thing is when I started buying, I buy a quarter of a cow at a time, and I freeze it. You know, they freeze it for me.
I did that last year.
Now, when I first started that, which was probably about 8 years ago, I started buying beef, maybe a little more, but 8 years, it was $2.20 a pound. And that's what I was paying then. Now it's up to $6.50 a pound. It's tripled.
I forget what I paid, but it was a lot per pound. But
it's insane.
It was still, it's good beef, really good beef. I mean, some of the best beef I've ever eaten.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I even stopped eating meat, and I love meat. I love hamburgers. It's my favorite, is hamburgers. And I stopped eating beef because it just didn't taste right. I didn't like it anymore. So I stopped eating meat for quite some time until a friend of mine told me that he was buying from a slaughterhouse just up north, a couple of towns north of me. And so I went up and bought meat from up there, and back to what it used to taste like again. That's because the feed was clean, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my meat that I buy, you know, the cow's still mooing as I'm driving down the street to put it into my freezer. I mean, they just slaughtered it that day or the day before.
Yeah.
And they freeze it up, and the next day I go pick it up. But anyway, all right, anything else, Anthony?
Let's see if I made a note here. I skipped something over.
We do have to wake people up, and we do have to get people to come to our meetings. We have to get people to come to your meetings. We have to look at only the people can save America. Only the people. There is no other way.
That's Trump what I say.
Trump cannot save America, and the military can't save America worth anything. They can seize it and take it back and give it back to the people. But if the people have not got a clue how to have government by consent, we'll just recreate the problems, and evil will show its head again, and we'll go right back to where we just came from. And that is a problem. But, you know, one of the major problems is technology. Technology is great. It's a blessing. I use it all day long. It's allowed me to gain the knowledge that I've got and the research that I have done. All of that is there for that, the communications, organizations, writing books. I've written numerous books and a lot of stuff, and all because of technology. But the problem is smartphones. Smartphones make you stupid, and I'm sorry to tell you that, but people spend all day looking down at their phones. I see people in the coffee house, they sit down and, you know, I used to watch them, you know, have conversations. I used to, as a contractor, meet with many contractors in the morning, have conversations and things and so on and so forth. On a Saturday, you know, maybe up at Dunkin' Donuts is a place you could sit down and have coffee and maybe a donut or a roll or something, and people are talking, but not anymore. You see people
looking at their phones.
None of them are talking to each other. They're all looking down at their phones. Okay, we give it to our children. It's destructive. We're demoralizing our children. School is demoralizing our children. They're sexualizing our children, and you're not helping with them smartphones. Children should not have a smartphone. It's up to the parent to control that. But I'm telling you, they're too young. I mean, maybe when they're 16 or 18, and why would they have one? You know, is there a reason for them to have one? They can learn on computers at home. You can control it, and eventually they can get a smartphone to use it for business and different things. But I'll tell you what, people don't read books no more. They tweet. You can't get a good conversation. You try to explain something, you get stopped, and you don't get your complete thought out. People don't have the patience to sit and wait for it. It's sad. And our children are being totally destroyed, destroying each other, posting things they should not be posting. These children, I'll tell you what, I'm pushing it heavy. People do what they want to do, you know, in your counties. But I'll tell you what, here in my county, I'm going to push real hard in the school districts. Children should not be going to school with phones. That should be a no-no. And we should talk to the parents about maybe not giving it to them. Because it's...
Well, the phone is a leash for them. You know, the parents have a leash to them with that phone.
Well, there are good points to it. There's no getting away. No, we're getting away from that. That's good. But you could put a beeper in their pocket, and you can still track them if you want through that.
There's alternatives, for sure.
You can give them a sticky phone, just a flip phone, you know. So and you can track them with that, too. So they don't need this thing that's destructive. Okay? They're too young for it.
I agree.
We injured. Look, when I was a kid, we injured each other. And I grew up with a good family and went to school with children that came from good families, you know, decent, moral families. And so I was grown up morally, patriotically. And that doesn't happen no more. But the thing is we did injure each other. I could imagine what would have happened if we had smartphones. We would have destroyed each other. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I look back. I was in the Boy Scouts. I worked out at the YMCA. I swam at the YMCA with my dad every Saturday. I was in San Francisco. We went to the Golden Gate Park baseball fields there. They got these two beautiful professional-looking baseball fields, even when I was a kid. And the San Francisco Giants would come out there, or the Seals would come out there even before the Giants, and the professionals would help us play baseball, and we used to actually be in leagues and play out there. All that stuff was so great. People don't grow up like that anymore. I used to run track, you know, and I was the slowest runner, but still I surprised myself. I find a third place ribbon I got in one of my boxes somewhere, you know, but that we did all that stuff. I raced in 5 soapbox derby meetings in San Francisco on Sunset Avenue. I made 4 cars. I kept 1 car the last year and used it twice. We were doing stuff like that. The kids don't get to do that anymore.
No, not at all. I see kids that they're at home all day long, either on their computers playing games or on their smartphones just communicating with each other. They're not out there playing tag, Ring Alivio, Johnny on the Pony.
Ollie Oxen Free. And besides that, I had a paper route since I was 7.5 years old until I graduated from high school. I probably took about 3 months off all of that time going taking vacation and stuff.
Look, parents got to do something. We need to talk about it more. We need to really get conversation. I'll write some papers on a lot of these issues. I've written papers on a lot of issues that you can get to on that page that I just showed you. And I'm going to write more. And we need to discuss them. People need to discuss it in their Committee of Safety and Meetings. And you should have something that people learn other than the business. You know, you got to have business going on. You know, everybody comes in, you go through old business, you review the notes, make sure that it's accurate. You move to new business. Each committee makes a report, tells you what the next thing they're going to do. They file the report. Secretary takes control.
Yeah. I went through the itinerary on that. I went through the liturgy, if you want to call it that.
And then you want to have maybe a half hour, 40, whatever time you want to put into it, where you cover something that's going to educate the people, that has a purpose, that's going to strengthen you, that's going to help you to have government by consent. But I'll tell you right now, people think they can remain ignorant and free. They expect what never was and never will be. That's what Thomas Jefferson said, and that is a fact. And that's where we're at. We are here because of ourselves. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Evil has taken hold of our nation and controlled us and have been hypnotizing us through movies, TV, through Hollywood, courts, through the government, people telling us with democracies and on and on. Okay, and that's because we're ignorant. People need to step up and get an education. We offer that proper education, and we need to bring that proper education into every school. Every child, by the time they come out of school, 12 years of school is a lot of time. In 12 years, when they come out, not only their basic understanding, they should be able to know how to handle a weapon, a rifle, a handgun. They should know how to drive. All this is the responsibility of the school. Mm-hmm. They should know the Constitution. They should know how the court access works, what due process is. They should be able to walk into a court and take care of their own business. They should know the common law. They should know our founding fathers. They should know our founding documents. They should know and understand these things by the time they come out of their 12th grade. As a matter of fact, I don't even think you need 12 years to teach all this.
No, it was 8 grades before.
That's
the 8th grade, they had, and how many languages did those guys speak? Our founding fathers, and, when Thomas Jefferson was president,
If you go up onto our page with handbooks, okay, you'll find we have an eighth grade test. Let me see if I can find it here.
I saw it. I didn't do too well.
Nobody does. Here's an eighth grade test right there.
But you know, John, you have everything set up. You guys have done a lot of work, and you and Gerard and all the other guys, you've done a lot of work, and you have everything set up. We need to use word of mouth advertising. We need to get to the people, even if we have to talk to them just one at a time, one phone call at a time, one dead phone, make another call. We can't get discouraged. We can't get discouraged when you run into meetings like I ran into today. The good news is I talked to some of my friends yesterday. We were having a family meeting. And actually, a friend of mine came over, a friend of a friend of mine, who wasn't normally there in our family gatherings. And he's very, very astute young man, younger man, you know. And I do believe he's going to be part of our committee of safety. So there's been glimpses of real bright glimpses of hope. So the worst thing we could do is to stop because we're discouraged and nobody's responding. Because when we stop, then nothing's going to happen.
That's the problem. Absolutely. And look at... You know, a friend of mine told me this. He says, you know, we got some good news and we got some bad news. And he says, the good news is we're all volunteers. The bad news is we're all volunteers. That's the problem. You know, we don't really get the work done that needs to be done. We got to go professional. We are looking for funding, okay? We have some ideas on how we may be able to get some funding, but, you know, that's not one of my specialties, but I'm doing the best. If anybody has a specialty in that and knows how to get funding, get in touch with Jan and help us get funding. But we need a couple of million dollars. We need at least $1.2 million to go through a year and pay a certain number of people to do certain things. And we need to get out there and get the interviews going. We need to get our message out to about a million people. You know, there is a ratio of a percentage, a couple of percent for every million. You get a couple of people that become very active in it and get involved. And that's what we need. To save this nation, as far as the committees of safety are concerned, we have a little over 3,000. We'll just say 3,000 counties, because some counties we won't have committees of safety because hardly anyone lives in them. But let's say 3,000 counties. And you multiply that by 100, okay? So that's 300,000 people. So we need less than a half a million people nationwide in order to save this nation, to bring this back under the control. You know, we don't have government by the majority. Thomas Jefferson said this. We don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. This nation is controlled by a handful of people. New York State is controlled by four individuals in every county. We have 62 counties. And those 62 counties, if you bring them together times four or five, but we'll go four, that's 250 people. 250 people who answer to a state committee, and that's controlled by four or five people. And then they go right up into the national. Each state goes into the national, and that's controlled by four or five people. And now, of course, there's a lot more people involved. For instance, on the committee, on the state committee here in New York, we have 62 counties, so we have 62 members. But it's the chairman, the co-chairman, the secretary, and the treasurer, ultimately, they have the important positions, and they're the ones that control everything. Whatever comes up to the plate to be discussed, they make the decision. Nothing should be like that. Anybody should be able to say, hey, let's discuss this, and they need to put it onto the agenda to get it discussed and come to a conclusion and move on. But that's not the way it works. This whole nation is controlled just by a handful of people, okay? And we need to do the same. We need to take it back. We can remove people from office. We can indict people. There's all kinds of things we can do to take this nation back. Now, we do know that we're in the middle of things. The military is going to make a move, hopefully sooner than later, but it's probably going to be next year sometime. I was hoping that it already happened already. But it's not. Things got to get worse. And if people don't step up to take control of the nation, we're going to lose it all together, and your children will not have liberty. And you can't have liberty if you don't understand it. You can't have liberty if you can't defend it. You can't have liberty if you can't put people into office that understand the Constitution and honors their oaths. You won't have liberty unless you can recognize when they're not honoring their oaths and you can correct them. If they refuse to correct them, you remove them from office through a recall. Or if it's a crime involved with that, you indict them. Because we need to control the juries. That's the way common law works. Judges don't need to be controlled, and that lawyers don't need to be controlled. That's just the common person is to control that. People don't understand that. The courts are run by the people. There's equity and there's law. That's probably one of the first things people should learn, the difference between equity and law. Equity is legislative law that controls commercial activities and controls government agencies and the agencies therein. And that's what equity is for. It has nothing to do with me. Okay, I'm under common law, and common law courts are run by the people. More often than not, you go back into history, a sheriff or a coroner might be taking the place of the judge in order to keep things going, sort of as a traffic cop, which is what a magistrate's supposed to do, because they're magistrates anyway. And so the magistrate runs that just to make sure things run through, but it's the jury that is the tribunal. It's the jury that makes the decision. It's the jury that not only decides the law, but it decides the facts, and also it's the jury that decides the punishment with an eye on restitution. It's the jury who is to do it all. And they have to be fully informed. And if you want to know what a fully informed jurist looks like, just go up here to this page here, right under Starter Committee of Safety, to the handbooks, videos, and tools, the same page I'm on right now. And you come down here and you read this book, Grand Jury Handbook. Read that book. You want to get an eye-opening, you read that book. It's 30 pages. And then you can come up here and you can get the Pettigrew Handbook. And one is 41 pages, that's the pedigree, the other one is 30 pages. And that's an education in itself right there. If any jury is educated with these handbooks, they will be able to make a proper decision on every court case, and now you can trust the courts and get justice. Without that, you'll never get it. So, all right, it looks like I lost you, Anthony, so we'll move on to the next person. Okay, Ross, you got the mic. Go right ahead, Ross. Anybody else wants to get...
John, how do we store ourselves as be a 10th Amendment citizen instead of Article 4 citizen instead of a 14th Amendment citizen?
Well, look, the 14th Amendment, they can twist the words to make it mean something it didn't. It did have something to do with the slaves, to try to liberate the slaves. It wasn't really necessary on the one hand, but on the other hand, you'd have to put it right. There's no difference in the citizens. I know a lot of the liberty movements study the common law. They have, let me mute you while I'm talking because we get feedback from people behind you in the scenes. I'll unmute you when I'm done. But anyway, you know, we have problems, you know, with, hang on a minute, I lost my train of thought here. Okay, citizens. Yeah, a lot of people think that it's a bad thing to be a citizen, and I understand that, and that was my position when I first started trying to figure things out and going through the common law, but we've been duped, okay? In the Constitution itself, the Constitution uses the word citizen 7 times. And that's what our founding fathers put in it. They didn't have a problem with the word citizen. I'm a citizen of the United States. And first and foremost, of course, I'm a citizen of New York because that's where I chose. Well, I was born here and I decided to live here. I continue to live here. But I can go to Jersey tomorrow morning and the moment my wheels go across that border, I'm now a citizen of New Jersey. And I can continue onward and become a citizen of Pennsylvania a couple hours later, whatever the case may be. Point is, I'm a citizen of every state I go into. I have all the powers and the authorities and the rights that any other citizen has in any other state, and especially in the state that I'm planted my feet in. And if I have, if they don't recognize certain rights, that is unalienable rights and rightful rights, that I may be recognized in one state but not in the other state, the Constitution even has a way to bring that about, that you have a right to exercise that right in that state, whatever they may be. So collectively speaking, because there are deficiencies in the thinking of men, and a lot of problems with the way states were put together. The enemy was here in the very beginning. They were here at the debates. They were here. What we have is the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. The New World Order was there in those meetings, and they were doing everything they can to maintain slavery. They were doing everything they can to bring us into a democracy, to destroy the works of our founding fathers. A lot of things. And just because they change the meaning of things and the way they say things, that doesn't change things, you know. So People can think it's a bad thing to be a citizen, but it's not. It's a good thing. And as a matter of fact, if you give up your citizenship and everything else, guess what? You're a man without a country. And if they decided to, they can deport you because you're not a citizen here no more. And where are you going from there? Well, what country are you going to get into? No passport. You're stuck on a plane or a boat or whatever the case may be, and you're in between places. You can't enter you can't enter into another country. So it becomes a problem. It's very dangerous to screw around with that. Giving up your birth certificate, giving up your driver's license, all of that puts you in jeopardy. It's very dangerous. Now, I don't agree that we should have those things, maybe, and I think we need to talk about that, and we need to figure that out. But for right now, it's something you don't want to really get lost in, doing that. And, people will take well, there's a lot of things. Anyway, back to you, Ross.
Okay, should people authenticate their birth certificate?
Should people what?
Authenticate it.
Well, it's authenticated. It's already authenticated in the sense that it's registered and filed, so it's there. Using birth certificates is a reasonably recent thing. Prior to, I don't know how long ago they started doing that, maybe in the 1800s sometime. Should we continue that? Well, I think we need to talk about that. I think it's a good thing maybe on the one hand. The problem is that the government shouldn't have anything to do with that. That's the problem, having information. I don't have an answer on that. Driver's license, okay? People shouldn't need a driver's license. But you certainly should know how to drive, and that's the responsibility of the school. School should teach you how to drive. You should know how to drive when you come out of school. So everybody born in this nation goes through school and learns how to drive, and you don't need a driver's license. There are a lot of things we might want to change, but maybe a lot of things we might want to consider keeping. I don't know. People have to discuss that, and we have to figure it out.
Because the person, the not Anna Richards group, but another Anna, the group American Assemblies, she said she bought your co-access to the common law, and she does the process of authenticating the birth certificate. Her group authenticates the birth certificates and those stuff.
I think we have much more important things to do. You know, once you start going and doing, say, making a declaration, filing it with the county, getting rid of your birth certificate, maybe giving up your citizenship, what are you doing then? You're raising your hand and you're saying, here I am. I'm your enemy. Here I am. And you're just putting yourself in more danger, in my opinion. Okay, number one. Number two, if you give up your driver's license, you know, you're going to end up a lot of time in jail if you don't drive.
Okay? I don't have a driver's license. I have an Oregon ID.
I don't know. What do you mean, an Oregon ID?
Yes, meaning I can't drive.
Oh, you don't drive, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can have that if you want. But the point is this. The battle is not there. The battle is in the courts. The battle is in the political arena. The battle is in the county. It's on the grassroots. The battle is taking the country back from the grassroots level, working in, taking your villages back, taking your towns back, taking your cities back, taking your state back, and taking the United States of America back. And it starts at the bottom and working its way up. And we need to understand and know how to do that. And that's what we teach you. We teach you how to remove people from office, how to take control of a board, how to, and again, the biggest one is the courts. And the court battle is fought through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And for those who don't understand what that is and how we formed that, is we visited every state of this union. And we visited, to some degree, probably all the counties or most of the counties. We've done two or three counties at a time. We had quite a few people going throughout the United States doing this and bringing forward the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Each state came together and formed a unified state common law grand jury. Then all 50 unified state common law grand juries came together, and we came brought together the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And with that, it was established by 2016. And that's when we started, well, maybe 15. And that's when we started filing papers in the court under the name Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury and laying out all of the crimes these people are doing. okay, bringing up all the evidence. We have lots of evidence. We've been many, lots of indictments, over 100 judges we've indicted. Now, of course, it's not going anywhere, but we did file it in the proper places. We filed it in numerous places. We filed it with the Attorney General of the United States. We filed it in the Northern District of New York for a place to have to file our paperwork, and we also filed it up on our website. So we have all this stuff, all this evidence, and now we're ready to go after these people and sue them and potentially do an indictment on the entire federal judiciary and work that right down into the states. It's a big job. It's a lot of work. But most of the work as far as the paperwork and laying the plan out has been done. We just have to bring it together and finalize it. And we're I'm working on that right now. And
John?
Yeah.
The problem those groups, like you said, Anna Vinritza and different Anna, is trying to say, because they think you're under the not correct jurisdiction, that's why you're not succeeding in suing, because they think you're a ward of state.
Well, we are exceeding quite wonderfully, actually, because we're filing papers and we're moving along. We're building the case. The big case is, we don't need to win all the battles. Matter of fact, we lose most of them. That's okay, as long as we win the war. And that's what we're heading for. You know, devolution is in play. When devolution gets to that certain point where we feel then we can go directly for the juggler, so to speak, to deal with the federal judiciary and the Bar Association, which has destroyed this nation at every single level. It's the bar behind all of it. It's the bar that brought together and moved the legislators to the laws that they have. It's the bar that controls the judges. All judges are bar judges. It's the bars that have changed the laws. They've written the rules. They destroyed everything. They destroyed a political process, a judicial process. They destroyed our education, our entertainment. They destroyed our money. They destroyed everything. It's all the bar. They started destroying this nation before we were a nation. This all goes back to 1750 when the king sent the bar, the English bar, the British bar, into the United States to bring us back under the control.
You mean like the British Registrar?
Exactly what it is. And the American Bar Association is directly connected and registered to the same bar registry.
Yep. Means it's a combined registry, not just American, but also British, are one of the same.
It's all about bringing us under Babylonian law, because they're under Babylonian law. The United States of America at this very moment, in every state and every court across this nation, is under Babylonian law. You don't have a constitution no more. You don't have any Bill of Rights to rest yourself upon. You're not going to win in court because they've taken it over. These people make their own law, they make it up as they go, and they destroy everyone that comes in there against the status quo. We've been fighting for 20 years.
Okay.
All right, Ross. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Cody, you're back again. Did you have a question or a comment you wanted to bring in? Or are you just hanging in there because you didn't pull yourself out? Okay, we'll continue on. Cody, last call for Cody. Okay, Cassandra, back to you again.
Hi there. I don't know how many are on the call tonight, but I just wanted to throw out there, I think the realization that this is that real, that somebody like, you know, little old me has to step up and take responsibility is a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I ever thought I would do. I would do like politics, and you know, I just tried to stay away from it because I didn't like what I saw.
Well, you see what they
kind of kept me ignorant, but it's a big responsibility and one that should be taken seriously. But somebody's got to do it, and maybe somebody will come along to take over, but.
Do the best you can and get whoever you can to come in and you'll eventually form the Committee of Safety properly and get the right people in there. Just have to wait for it. I'll tell you, once we hit critical mass, we're close to critical mass, we just need the funding to go professional to really push the critical mass. And once we do that, we're going to have plenty of people coming in, because again, you got to hit 1 million people to get 100,000. You know?
Can we put a little goal bar on the homepage, maybe?
What do you mean?
Like you said, to get under 500,000 people.
Yeah, well, right now we do have on our website, you can come down here on the right side of our website, we have the statistics of us, you know, National Liberty Alliance. And for instance, I'll just go through them very quickly. I'm scrolling down looking for it. Here it is. Every county in the United States has been constituted, 3,133, which means we visited every one of them. And we've got members in every state. Our total membership is 11,903 people. Total grand jury administrators is 1,260. Now, I don't think all of those people are active, and we've got to start cleaning that one up and getting people in here. We have 3,000, let's say, roughly counties, okay? 3,000 counties, we need five. We need 15,000 people to take back our courts, five people in every county. Four administrators, county jury administrators, and paralegal. Okay, but the paralegal should be also an administrator. They all should be qualified. We have 166 county committee of safety organizers. So we have potentially 166 people trying to build committees of safety. The committee men, I don't know why we still have that, because we've done away with that. The committee men are in your county committees. We have 121 people that have pressed forward for the militia. We're going to move those two, because really that's not our job. That's the job of the counties. We shouldn't be involved in that. And we haven't been building that in quite some time. We were a little bit ignorant back then, and I guess failed to remove those two things. Total district leaders, we have 29, but they're not active. They're just not active. They've signed up, but they're not active. Total national coordinators, we have 14. Most of them, I think, are active. And that's what's running National Liberty Alliance, probably a dozen people. And it's all on part-time. And we need help, serious help. But we need money first and foremost, because if we get help, then we'll put people to work, you know, full-time, 40-hour weeks, and then we'll be able to accomplish every goal we push forward for, because we'll then be organized in a way to be able to require certain things. And if you don't produce, then we'll find someone to replace you. And that's just the reality of life. You have to produce. So, we're waiting for trying to find money and hitting critical mass. And when that happens, we will take back America. We will get enough people educated. But again, if we can get the word out, if anybody can help us get interviews, that's what I need, is interviews, to go out and, you know, get the interview who we are in the right places. And I've been trying to get on X22 for a couple of years now. I just can't catch that person. I can't catch their attention, Dave. And if anybody can get a hold of him and tell him about NLA and we'd like to be interviewed on that, I mean, that would be huge, because we'd get a lot of people through that. And that would connect us to other groups that listen in, that connect with X22, and that could bring us critical mass. Critical mass, if we can get 1 million people's attention, we can pull 100,000 good people. Get another 1 million people, we got 200,000 people, you know. That's kind of my thinking on trying to really get to the point where we need to get to. But it's up to the people. You know, if the people want to be free, if the people want liberty, if people want to save America, if people want a constitution and hold that constitution up and hold these people's feet to the fire, if people want a sheriff that's going to get out there and protect us against abusive government agents and their agencies, if that's what you want, then you have to step up. And if you don't step up, that says you don't want that. And if enough people say, I don't want that, then we'll fail. But I'll be here and keep pushing to the last moment that I can push. And it's up to the people to do what they got to do. They should be fighting with the last breath in them, if that's what has to be done. Because, you know, we are a nation of people under law. That's who we are. One nation under God. We are a Christian nation. And we're built upon a Christian Christian background as far as the Bible is concerned, you know, fundamentals. And our courts are to run that way. The king of the court is Jesus Christ. That's who our king is, God himself. And we have to hold these people to the fire when they make an oath, take an oath. You know, I'm going to be talking to this sheriff who doesn't think they can do much. My final conversation with him, I'm going to give him a lot of information, but my final conversation with him, if I can't sway him to realize what the error of his way is, that maybe you think you should think about leaving your office because you took an oath to protect that, to uphold that Constitution. It doesn't matter if the governor's against you, doesn't matter if the legislator's against you, you took that oath, you took that job, that's your duty. You don't want to do that duty, you're frightened of that duty, whatever, then leave your job, let someone else take it. And that's how we have to deal with our sheriff at some point if we can't convince them to educate themselves and do the right thing. But it's not just with them, it's with us. If people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. We've lost our Constitution. It's gone. Anybody that thinks you can go into a court and get it, well, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you because it's not there anymore. It's gone. And we have to resurrect it. NLA is doing everything it can to resurrect our republic. But the people have to be behind it, just like they have to be behind Trump. If you're not behind Trump and you're not behind NLA or any other group, you know, there's the Republic Review doing great work trying to bring sanity back to the legislators. Okay, we support them. There's We the People by Robert Schultz. We support his movement and the things he's doing, and they support us. And we look for other people that we're compatible with, people who are constitutional, people who focus in on the common law and who we are as a people. And the fact that we're a republic, okay, those are the people we need to connect with. And so whenever we find a group that is compatible to those things, then we will do our best to try to connect with them. Anyway, anything else, Cassandra?
Oh, no, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is it Ricard? You got the mic, you've been unmuted. First name and state. Ricardo Eckler. I don't think it's Richard. R-I-C-A-D-O-E-K. You got the mic. Last call for Ricard. All right, we'll go to our next one. LJ, you got the mic. Good talking to you. And I didn't get a chance to talk to Jan yet, but we can talk a little bit about what you want to talk about on that issue if you want.
Oh, yeah. No, hey, John. I just wanted to, LJ from California, I just wanted to know, is it okay if I make a couple recommendations? Because I have some really good resources for people that would like to know some information on business trusts and private common law trusts.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so there is... It's a two-book volume, and the first volume, well, they're actually both the same title.
A quick question on it. Have you researched it out to know that it's not under civil law but under common law? Because that's key.
Yes, it is definitely under common law.
Okay.
No civil law.
Well,
okay.
There was a guy that wrote a book, and it's very impressive to some degree. It's been around for quite some time. It was written by a lawyer about common law. And it really isn't common law, so we have to be careful. We do have an individual we've been working with, Brent Allen Winters. He wrote the book, I mentioned him earlier, Excellence of the Common Law. I read his book, an amazing book. I learned a lot from this book on the common law, if anybody wants that book, The Excellence of the Common Law. And so there are some people that have written some good stuff, but I've also seen some things written on common law. And it really brings us back to equity, which is legislative law. So we got to be very careful when we don't get lost into equity, that we stay in the law end. But with that, go ahead, share what you got.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so it's a two-book volume set, and the name of the book is called The Art of Passing the Buck, and it's a pen name, Charles Arthur. Now, the first volume, it just basically talks about the different common law trusts, peer trusts, where they did their history, where they trace it back to, I think, like the 14th, 15th century when trusts came on the scene. Mm-hmm. And their second volume, which is also The Art of Passing the Buck, it goes in more detail on how to do the trust declaration, to managing how you disperse your beneficiaries, the grantor, all that. It's basically
is,
the second.
Are these books still under control of copyright, or are they old enough that they could?
Okay, so basically a little history about these books. The name of the website is Passing the Bucks, and it's plural. And back in 2010, they're California based. I know them, very great people. They had a lawsuit that came against them through the Department of Justice here in California. And the reason why the DOG wanted to sue them is because they wanted to ban them from selling these books. And they were in court. It was a good battle, but they were in court for about a year, and it made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And they actually have their lawsuit that they went through. They actually have it posted on that website that I just stated, and they won. They won. The Supreme Court came back and said that they do not see that there is anything fraudulent, because that's what the Department of Justice here in California was trying to say, was that there are peddler pushers, and that this is false information, and it's a tax scheme, evasion, and everything. Well, after about a year of battling the Department of Justice, they won, and basically it was ruled in their favor that there's nothing unlawful in there, that everything is lawful, and that they can continually to sell their books. So yeah, so
passingthebuck.com.
Okay, so they're here. Let me go to their website right now, because I was just on it. Because they're
just passingbucks, I think, .com.
Yes, that's it. Passingbucks.com, and then the books are The Art of Passing the Buck, but it's not, bucks is not plural. And it's a volume one and two. And volume one, again, it basically just talks about the different trusts and how powerful they are, that the powerful elite and the rich, this is what they've been doing for many years. This is why they always can guess how much money they're worth, which we really would never know, because they have these private common law trusts. And it's just amazing information. I mean, I've set up my private law trust this way, and it's all lawful. It's great. And they have their case that they went through. They have it all. The complaint that was filed through the Department of Justice here in California on behalf of the IRS. And it's a really interesting case, because you could just see how ridiculous and how evil that these demonic devil spawns, how they go about. But they had the victory, and they won. They won, I believe it was about 15 of them that were, they all came together, and they fought it, and they won. And then
do we have any idea how many pages these books are?
Oh, man. Okay, so I have volume two, because I was just going through, because I need to learn some stuff. Because the volume two basically teaches you how to manage the trust, it's amazing. I just thank God that these people.
Yeah, it seems to be numerous books, different kinds of books. You have Art of Passing the Buck, okay, here. And it looks like they're selling something, volume one, for $49.95, but they've got related products, and they're looking like $600. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, so their second book, it's $560.
That's a lot of money, and most people can't afford that, especially in today's environment. And I'll tell you, this is a problem I have, okay? The two books that I've written, okay, the major books, I've written lots of books, but the two major books, those books I've maxed out. There's 550 pages. I think one's 548 pages. The other one's 550. But 550 is the max. You can't get any more pages in it. And I've got the largest size. You can get larger, but I got 8.5 by 11. So it's the size of, a paper that you put in a printer. So it's a nice big book. It's a hardcover, and sell it for $39.95. Only making a few dollars on each book. No big deal. Making $2 a day. But the education that you get from that is the key point. Now, Those books, those kind of books, I guess, really, they don't sell large in volume, so a lot of people, they'll take their law books and different books of that type, and they charge you know, hundreds of dollars. And they really, you know, I'll be honest with you, these books here, if they're maxed out, you can still sell them for $59, $69, $79 and still make decent money out of it. Matter of fact, I'll tell you can sell it for $39.95 like we do and still make a few dollars off of it. And then you have the opportunity of getting volume. But there aren't a lot of people that might buy a book like that, so that's another problem. But then if you find the proper place to advertise your book, then that's a whole different story also. You know, we deal with a lot of patriots and a lot of information, so we do okay selling books. And it helps keep the, you know, the lights on here, so to speak, between that and the donations. And it's mostly donations that support us. You know, it's a shame that people charge so much money for it because it sounds like it might be good books.
I do have a book,
and it's PDF. It's not a lot of pages. It's very simple, but it's to the point, and it lays out exactly how to create a common law trust. And it's for free. We give it for free. You know, I didn't write it, so I'm not going to charge anybody for it. And it's beyond the copyright point, so it's available free to download. So we've made it available. I got to locate it. I forgot where I put it, but if it's not up there, I'll get it up there. But it's interesting. I don't know. Tell me more about the books. Anyway, what'd you get, the $49.95 one?
Yeah, the $49.95 one, it basically, I believe that it does have some information in there to where you, like how to put the structure of setting up the private common law trust. The Art of Passing the Buck, the volume 2, this one goes into more detail on like how to fully manage the trust, like how to build perpetual wealth for the trust, how to pay out dividends and how to invest. And it's a really, because I, at first, you know, years ago when I had got wind of them, when I was poor, I couldn't afford it at that time, you know, I was a bit angry. So I contacted them and I said, why are you guys charging so much for this book? This is, you know, you want to free people out of this demonic system that we're in. And what they came back and said, that the reason why they put the price for the $575 for this book is because they know that if the person that is going to buy this book, that they are serious and that they're going to mean business and that they're going to implement.
I think that's a bad philosophy. Look, you could buy something and maybe put it down and not really read it. Maybe someone else will pick it up. But generally speaking, making it available is the key. And there's a lot of people who really would like to get a book like that, maybe, and they just can't afford it. I mean, I haven't got the money to lay out $500 for a book. I just don't have it, and I don't know that I would want to be honest with you. You know.
But on the bright side, though, John, I found this book on eBay. And I think that I got it. How much was it that we got it for? I think it was like $350. So it, to me, I was just like, you know, it's
well,
worth it.
Yeah, like it's got a lot of great stuff in it. I can't argue that. It's an education, it sounds like. So it goes beyond just making a trust.
Yeah. Now, John, because you're more privy to this information and educated in this, at some point, because I know it would be a project, but I would... to because I do believe in giving and that's where you know receiving is in giving, right? I would be willing to put this in a PDF.
Where you can put, you can't do that because that's copyrighted and that'd be stealing. So
that's there's no fair use. Would they consider that fair use or whatever they call that?
Only if they give you permission.
Okay.
We would not post anything up there that we didn't write. If we don't have permission, everything we post by permission and beyond the copyright protection. You know, once things get beyond a certain point, you know, I forget what it was, but after the person dies and so many years after that for the family to continue with it and to, you know, the children or whatever, the spouse, and then after, so it's a certain amount of time and then that's it. Then it's open for free for everyone. You can continue to sell it, of course, but it's but you can copy it and put it up and give it away for free. I was approached, I had Black's Law Dictionary up there for quite some time, and I had the fourth edition. I didn't realize it wasn't past the copyright, but it was for free when I got it, so I put it up there. But I actually got contacted by the people who actually own the copyright of that, and they said, hey, you can't do that. So I had to take it down. So I went in and looked into it and found out that not long after that I had taken it down, it did expire. So after it expired, I put it back up. So now people can get it. Now, that's an important book. Black's Law Dictionary, it's an extremely important book. People need to have that, especially if you're going to go into the courts and try to understand how things work. But you also have to understand that inside Black's Law, it covers 51 different jurisdictions. So when you're reading through that stuff, you have to appreciate and understand what jurisdiction you're in. Okay, and the two jurisdictions we're interested in particularly is equity, which most of that is equity, but it's from different places. So our equity, of course, comes from our legislators. But what we're really interested in Black's Law is the law, L-A-W, the law. And law is common law. If you get the word law on its own, it's common law. Anything else has to have something else, civil law. It could be called equity, legislative law. Statutes, codes, regulations, all those words belong to equity. But law is law, period. It is the common law. It comes right out of the Bible.
Okay, yeah, well, I guess I thought I knew about that whole fair use thing. I guess I didn't.
Yes.
And then the last book, that this one, I'm on Amazon and it's only $7.99. This is a really, really, really good book, too. It's The Business Trust, and this is for anybody that wants to set up a business, and it is founded on the common law, and it's only $7.99, and the name of the book is called The Uncorporation, and it's by James Billings, and it's amazing, because here in California, whenever you set up an LLC, they make you pay $800 for the California Tax Franchise Board. They make you pay $800 a year.
What's the name of that
book? LLC. And once I set this up, let's put it this way, this thing is so private that you don't even have to.
What's the name of the book?
The book is The Uncorporation, Unleashing the Power of the Business Trust for Protection and Privacy. And it's by James Billings, B-I-L-L-I-N-G-S, and it is on Kindle for $7.99 if you have Kindle, or paperback, it's $17.99. And
that sounds interesting, and I think I'm going to buy it. And it's reasonable.
It's really, like, I mean, he's you don't have to, because of course with the LLC, you know, here in California, you have a lot of sue happy people. So what do these lawyers do, the scheme that goes out here in California? Well, they go and look up people through the Secretary of State to see who they can sue, come up with some frivolous lawsuit to ruin people's lives and business. Well, with this baby right here, you don't even have to register it through the Secretary of State, none of that, because it's falling under that common law.
I've got a handbook. Like I said, I'll make sure it's available, because I know people are asking for it, and I'll just have to locate it and get it up. But it's how I built my trust. I've created trust also, common law trust. And right now I'm handling a case for an associate of mine who the IRS came out after him, and they seized. He's got a retirement fund, but it's a trust retirement fund, one of the biggest in the nation. And once the IRS went to that trust, and the trustee of that trust was the controller of New York. Okay, so we're suing the controller of New York right now, as well as the IRS and other entities. But in any event, that's a trust that he was in when he was working, and he's retired for quite a few years now, and he was taking in over $8,000 a month in off of that retirement plan. And plus Social Security. So the IRS came and took just about almost everything away from him, and now he's in the courthouse, so to speak. You know, he's only got a couple of $1,000 a month, and, you know, he has to take care of, he owns a couple of properties, got to pay taxes. You know, he can't do that no more, because they've assaulted him. So we went, and I contacted the controller, who was the trustee, and informed him, first trying to get conversation with him, didn't want to talk to nobody. Then we put him on notice and informed him of the fact that he was a trustee of the trust and he broke the trust. And even if you go out to the IRS website, or even if you go out to the controllers, the New York State website, and find the controller and get into this trust that was for the employees for the state, okay, you'll find out that they make the point that no one can garnish here out of that, and even the IRS cannot do it. Yet the IRS has come and done it. And they did it with a notice of lien, so they don't even have a lien. It doesn't exist down on in the federal district where it was supposed to be filed. So that was a crime. It was taken without the sheriff, another crime. It was they broke a trust, another crime. The controller broke the trust, a crime. You know, all these are crimes. And now we're in the courts, and you know, and they're trying to maintain the status quo, doing everything they can to throw us out, sanctioning this guy because he's trying to make the battle and the fight to defend himself. And this is what you got to go through in the courts. It's a major, major problem. So anybody creating a trust, you do have to be very careful. And I would tell anybody that's going to be a trust, you've got to be well understanding in the law, at least to try to defend yourself in the courts. And what I think will happen, because I've won cases by being thrown out of the courts. After being thrown out of the courts, the settlement came. And so I've won cases that way. I won an IRS case that way. They gave me a release of lien. They gave me an apology letter. And they sent me a letter saying I don't have to pay taxes. Think about that, okay? So the thing was, I wasn't going to win in the court, okay? It just wasn't going to happen. But they also didn't want my case in the court. So if you have the knowledge, you can win through knowledge, because they don't want that case to go through the courts. And because if a jury makes a decision on that case and it goes the wrong way that they don't want it to go, it's a major blow for them. So you got to be careful. Anybody doing a trust, you better be educated in the law before you be able to go do the trust. And just be careful. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, we got to go. Next call.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Oh, one other thing before you go. Dan, LJ was talking to me. We've got a couple of conversations over the week, and I don't know who's handling our Twitter page and Facebook, and we need to get a hold of the controls because no one's doing anything with that, and LJ wants to take it over. So, LJ, if you can send Dan an email, give him the phone number, maybe you guys can talk and we can try to dig up that information. I don't know if he has it or Terry has it or who has that information. Okay, Jan at National Liberty Alliance. Just drop him a note with your phone number and ask him to call concerning talking about these things. Okay?
All right. I'll send that tonight.
Yeah, and then you and I can connect and we can talk some more once you get all the info and start getting into those places to get info out.
All
okay.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Next person from New Jersey. What's your first name from Jersey?
Hi, this is Daniel.
How you doing, Daniel?
I'm great. How are you, John?
Good, thank you.
I am the Committee of Safety leader currently in Union County, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I chimed in just to make one comment from earlier and one question.
Okay.
And even before that, I want to thank the previous gentleman for those books. I always like new information.
Mm-hmm.
The one comment from before was the difference between whether we need a driver's license or not to travel on the public roadways.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking from experience, I'm a truck driver. And in order to call yourself a driver, that has to do with commerce. So truck driving, Uber driving, delivery driver, those are all things that you would have to go to your DMV. And what you're doing is you're subjecting yourself to a different set of rules based on commerce and commercial laws.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you do not need permission to use the public roadways. So that was just the one comment I had.
Well, we agree with you on that. And, you know, I made a decision not too long ago. I'm not going to deal with those people no more. I go to court once, put them on notice. You know, I write a paper letting them know that this is a commercial code, has nothing to do with me. and that you're hijacking me into jurisdictions unknown. I'm being denied my due process. This court can't give me my due process. It needs to be shut down right now. And then I inform the judge, that I am not coming back here no more. You can set the next court date, but we'll be in federal court on this issue, and I'm going to sue the court.
I have a similar story to that, and it less than 30 days ago, because I gave the court 30 days to present to me their jurisdiction, their evidence that I'm under their jurisdiction, and the oath of office of the prosecutor and the judge. And on the 21st of this month, if they don't present it to me, they now have no claim against me. It was for parking my truck.
You've got to move it to federal court for cause at that point, because they will come out, they will arrest you, they will put you in jail, they'll do everything they can to you. They don't like people that buck the system. They don't like people to come tell them, hey, you work for me, I don't work for you. They don't want to hear these things, and they're ignorant anyway, and there's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. You know, I've got a paper which I shared. I share it on the course, and it's a paper I write to any traffic violation or any code violation. I use that paper. Just kind of alter it around a little bit depending on the situation.
Right.
And whenever I get a ticket, I usually take that paper and I file it with. I find out who, because now these traffic courts they have prosecutors. So they have a lawyer there, it's a prosecutor. I guess it's the county or the town. What is it? That would be the county. No, the town. Town lawyer.
And
or the village or the city or the county. But, the county doesn't deal with it. This is all dealt with the courts that aren't even real courts. They're all administrative. You know, village courts, town courts, city courts.
They're private corporations. All municipalities are...
Well, even the state courts and the United States Supreme Court is also part of the ministry.
They have, yes, they are as well,
but
currently.
In any event, the point, though, they try to stay away from that, and they allow those little courts to handle it, and they make money, and then they get a piece of the action, and so on. It's all a game. It's all about money. But the thing I'm trying to say is that I've written a paper, and it's worked pretty good, and I would say half the time, when I get a ticket, half the time I file this paper, make a copy of the ticket, serve it on the court, And half the time, I never hear back from the court again. It just disappears.
Correct.
The other half...
As long as they're not conducting business, like delivering pizza, whatever, you have no reason to get a license like that.
And so half the other half that don't, then I would just pay the fine and go on. But my last one, I decided I'm not doing that no more. And that's what I did. And they threw
writing a letter. I go into court to entertain myself. Otherwise, I just write a letter, like you said.
Okay.
But that was the one... comment. And,
I have a question.
Yeah. The question is, you must have said it a million and one times, but since I have you here, I want to hear it directly. Where the phrase devolution comes from and what exactly it means, briefly?
Well, I understand devolution goes quite far back. It goes all the way back. It's a military thing, and it goes back quite far, even before Lincoln, I believe. So devolution, I believe, was in play back then. You know, that was a time when they had two presidents. We have a time right now, I believe, we have two presidents. So maybe we have one president and then we have one commander-in-chief. Maybe that's where we're at right now. But devolution is a process where authority is handed from the government usually to the military, for whatever purposes. And of course, in this purpose is because of enemies, foreign and domestic. And there's no way to deal with this problem but the military. The military is the only way. It's too big and too deep and too wide. And so, you know...
What problem exactly?
Huh?
The military to deal with this problem. What problem exactly?
Enemies, foreign and domestic, that have taken over our nation, created a deep state, and is about ready to turn us into... socialism, communism, Nazism, or some kind of an ism. You know, there's numerous isms till they get you to a certain point. They wipe out enough people and they bring everyone under control, and they control your money, they control every facet of your life. And with the technology, they can do it. Okay, so they can control everything. And that's where we're at. Now, we do have on our website, you can come to today's issues. Well, right here, today's issues, you can come down to devolution. And this will give you a lot of information on devolution. And, you know, so there's a lot of great stuff on this. We also have under today's issues, let's see, Q News Anon. This guy's got 50-some-odd reports out there. 61 reports out there. I have to double-check to see if there's any later ones. I think Terry's been keeping this page up. So this here lays out a lot of the stuff. If you want to know what's going on, this guy's really laid it out. We also have that guy Johnson, the country singer. I'm trying to think of his first name, but his name, last name is Johnson. He was in the military. He's a military guy, and he seems to understand things. And he wrote a book on the process of devolution and what's going on.
Derek.
How things were. Derek. Thank you. Derek Johnson. And there's also X-22 report. You know, you can go there. This guy, Dave, is unbelievable. Gives a lot of news. I listen to him. I think he comes on 5 times a week. So you can catch that. The other thing you can go to also is Christian Patriot News. They get a lot of good information. So if you look at those sources alone I gave you, and there's more than that, but if you go through those, you will understand devolution. You will understand what's going on. You'll understand where the military is, why we're going through the pain and suffering we're going through, how Trump has laid this whole thing out with the military, how they connected for him to become the president of the United States in order to take this nation back. They were ready during Barack Obama's time to take out the government, the military, that is. And that's some of the stories we've heard. And, you know, I know back then when we had written some papers to the military and to various individuals in different areas of government, letting them know that concerning, you know, military operating on American soil, we were seeing it from the other direction, though. And so maybe because of something we said, maybe also because something they realized that the people may not understand, they didn't do it and they came up with a different plan. And they had the right person. Name is Donald Trump. And so if you go through that, the interesting thing about this, I was asked the other day by someone, how sure are you? I said 100%. I probably should have said 99.9 because I should never be 100% about anything. You always got to leave that little bit of a leeway. Maybe I made a mistake somewhere. But you see, the fact of the matter is this. In the Bible, it tells us truth is self-evident. Our Declaration of Independence, I mentioned this earlier, it tells us truth is self-evident. I have discovered in my life a long time ago truth is self-evident. All you have to do is listen long enough. And that group, that people, that book, that whatever it is, it'll betray itself if it's not the truth. And when you have a contradiction, you know, and everyone will get a contradiction from time to time. You'll get something that flags you. And you get a contradiction if you're building upon something. Well, you got to stop and figure out what the problem is and fix that problem, because to build on a faulty foundation is only going to fall apart and crash. You don't want a faulty foundation. So the thing is, again, I get back to truth is self-evident because it's consistent and it bears witness to itself. The different groups or places that I mentioned here, told you about, you know, you have X-22, you have Christian Patriot News, you have the other two. What was the other one? Devolution here, which is just a series of different videos and things that I brought together on that. But then the Q News Anon, okay, this is a key individual. Like I said, he's got 61 reports. They're about an hour apiece. And Johnson, all those people together, all those things together, they're in harmony, beautiful harmony. That's how I know. Besides that, I'm a student of the Bible, and Isaiah 14 tells me, as we come towards the end of things, that nations will be judged. And that's where we're at. We're at a point where nations are going to be judged, and the world at some point will say peace and safety at last. So that's just another sort of nail in their coffin, so to speak, or information to me to believe that everything is going forward and we'll take this nation back. The problem, though, is that we may not be able to keep it because people aren't stepping up to do what they have to do. And that's why, again, if we hit critical mass, we'll find the right number of people and the right people to step up to take this nation back from the grassroots level.
All right. And in closing, I just wanted to ask where I could, if I guess, leave an email to Jan.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
I have a couple people in mind that they have, like, their little podcasts or whatever the case, that they might be interested in an interview with you.
Absolutely, yes.
I'll send you those.
Connection with them and send them information on us. They can look at our website, see who we are, what we're doing, and hopefully get a preliminary conversation so they understand what we'll be talking about. And then we'll get interviewed. We've had a lot of good interviews in the past, but we haven't had many lately, and we really need them.
Yeah, I see that. All right. Thank you for your time today, John.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call. Okay, looks like the last person in the queue is Cody. Cody, you still there? You got the mic.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, I just want to ask again, make sure that you have my email so I can send you that information.
Okay. Well, you could send information to me at mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and all of our leadership gets a copy of that, and I'll get a copy of that myself. So Jan
okay,
will get it, Terry will get it, Derek will get it, a lot of people will get it, Gerard will get it, so on.
Okay, very good. Because I want to make sure that you guys see the wind cases and everything that's attached to it.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay, thank you, Cody. Oh, we have another person in the queue. Richard, it looks like. I think we're having problems connecting with you. Is your mic working? Your mic is open now, so let's try. 701 area code. Looks like the name Richard is there. If you're talking, we're not hearing. You have to, well, you should have there you go. I think I heard you.
Okay. I just went right directly to the phone with my headset. I can hear you, but I can't talk, so.
Okay. What did you do to get your talking, you know, your voice audio going?
Well, it says I'm connected and I can ask my question, but when I start talking, you can't hear me, so. But we got it going now. All right.
Yeah, so you've done something. Okay.
Have you tried to get on some of the radio programs? For example, here in North Dakota, there's a real popular one. It's by a local radio station. Name it Scott Hennen.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, the name of the program is called What's on Your Mind.
Well, if you can make the basic connection, get that information to Jan, then Jan will set up a call for me with them. Usually, okay. They'll set up a preliminary conversation. And then we'll get a time and a date for the okay. Interview.
He's on 5 days a week, and this program's on for like an hour, 2 hours every day, twice a day.
Right, well, I'll talk to anyone. You know, I mean, I got a lot to say, so I'll talk to anyone. And
he claims to be a patriot. So, okay, what would I send to Jan? What number?
Yeah, Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And he'll, you know, but you got to make the basic connection, get the information, and then Jan will make the contact and set up the interview, the preliminary for the interview first, and then I'll set the interview up with that person when I'm on the phone with them.
Okay, so...
And anybody else out there that can get us, you know, connect us with an interview, get us the basic information as far as a contact and a phone number or something so that Jan can make the initial contact, you know, we'd appreciate
it. Well, here's another one. Are you doing anything like, you ever tried doing with the Patriot Street Fighters, Scott McKay?
I've never been, I've seen his things. I went to some event in Pennsylvania last year and he was out there talking, so he seems to be a popular guy. I don't get a chance to listen to many people, but I have seen and heard him talk a little bit here or there. I've seen him on X22 a couple of times. But yeah, if you can connect me with him, I'd love to connect. We did give him a copy of the book, but I got to believe he probably didn't read it. I know his secretary was with him when we met him. And we gave it to him. He passed it to the secretary, and she seemed to, you know, she's kind of skimmed through it and seemed to like it. But I don't know if he ever really sat down to at least breeze and peruse through it. If he did, then he would understand what we're doing. But maybe he didn't. But if you can make contact with that guy or anybody can, and maybe he'll remember us from the meeting in Pennsylvania. But one way or the other, I'd like to have a personal conversation where he can.
Okay.
What we're doing, and hopefully get an interview from him. You see, if we get on people like that, if we get onto their podcast, that's gold, because at that point we'll be getting calls from everybody. because other patriots and patriots, they're all working together, and we'd like to get into that niche there, so to speak.
Have you are familiar with Mike Lindell and the My Pillow guy?
I'd love to get, because he does have a podcast too, doesn't he? I'm aware of him.
He's got a bunch of people
I definitely would like to get on his program again. He'd be he'd get us a lot of exposure. Both of those guys.
As you're familiar with him, he's trying to get this election integrity. They just came out recently this year. They came out with a device, and he's got all the precincts, as many as he can get. I was like, yo, he needs money to. He spent millions of dollars of his own money. And a lot of the big box stores just cut him off altogether. Menards is one of the few that still.
Yeah, I'm familiar with his story. Yes, I do know of him, but I don't. Yeah.
I would think it'd be a great thing because there's nobody being arrested for all this election laws that they're violating and that. And he's trying to get that election, but that's kind of a neat little thing. And I'm going to try to get hooked up with that too. Where he just
drives around. We're talking about the federal mafia here. You know, they control everything, and it is a mafia. It's federal mafia. The mafia has nothing on these people, nothing. And they take people out. When they can't deal with you, they take you out. And they're very dangerous people. They're evil, okay? Yeah. When you get take these judges, I mean, most of these judges, especially on the federal level, these people are evil. They don't care about nobody. It's all about money, power.
Well, it reminds me... you know, like what he was trying to do is to get people fired up about election integrity, and he's pushing to get rid of these electronic voting machines, which probably isn't going to happen. But
if they don't fix the
election rigging, Trump is going to get back into office again, unless he goes some other way.
Trump is already in office. He's going to get back into office. He's the commander in chief. He hasn't left that. He's got the football. Okay. And the other side knows it. They can't afford to have another election because they know he's going to win, and they know they're going to end up on the end of a short rope at that point. They know that. And he couldn't do nothing on his first administration because the people were too ignorant to the problems, and it wouldn't have looked good. It wouldn't have gone well, let's put it that way. So it had to go the way it went, and they have to be exposed, and that's where they're at.
Playing dumb just to get people thinking he's not very smart.
You know, anybody that doesn't realize Trump is brilliant, they got something. I mean, is ignorant to these things and not brilliant. Then,
I run into people like that all the time.
Yeah, well, they don't understand because they're listening. They're getting their daily information from the fake news, but. The bottom line is this: you don't do what he did if you're not an intelligent guy, at least in the areas he's talking about, business and world affairs and things goes.
Have you gotten a chance to get an interview with them?
With who?
The Epic Times.
No, I'd love to. No, but I haven't now. Yeah, anybody can set that up.
I did talk to them. I talked to them. And yeah, they like to get stories. And so I thought, well, okay. I didn't know about you guys at the time, but I referred somebody else to them about that law that they passed in 1996 about legal to lie.
Yeah, again, that would be great because they've got a lot of people listen to that. A lot of podcasters listen to that to Epic Times, and Epic Times puts out great news. There's quite a few good people with them.
Website, they do list. Ways of contacting if you've got some newsworthy stuff that there's people.
Yeah, it's very hard. Look, I tried to get in touch with X22. I've gone onto his website, and other people have done that too. Put a note in there, but I haven't heard nothing. I tried to make contact with Valuetainment. I'd love to get on Valuetainment. He's got a big audience, and we got knowledge that he really needs because he's very close to understanding what's going on. It's a guy's name is Patrick. But you know, to get their attention is the problem. You know, when you get too big, you can't get the people's attention. One of the things we try to do here at National Liberty Alliance is make sure that people can make contact with us, and that's one of the main reasons I have these Monday night calls, so people can actually talk to me. I'm one of the co-founders. Gerard comes on; he'll talk or I'll talk, and so people can actually talk to the people who put this together. They can also make contact connection to other leadership within National Liberty Alliance. There's lots of ways to connect with us and to communicate with us. When you get bigger, it is hard, but nevertheless, it's got to be maintained. you know.
So, okay, just review again. What would be the best way to have, would give them your number, or you give you their number for you to contact them, or do a little groundwork ahead of them?
The best way is to make the connection, get their name and number, and let them know that someone will contact them. Jan will make the first contact with National Liberty Alliance. So his email address that you'll want to connect with him with, and maybe pass your number and connect, is Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And once he makes the initial contact and gets a little bit of discussion, gets some information, then an arrangement is usually set up where I'll have a pre-conversation, you know, prior to any interview, so that they know who we are, what we're doing, and get, you know, right. We can exchange things. Usually those conversations sometimes could last for hours, and it's usually good. You know, we usually end up getting good results from it. But it's been a while since we've really had many good interviews. And we haven't really been out there with the big places, you know, big podcasts or the big news media. So that's where we got to get to. You see, didn't help us find funding. But go ahead.
Is he? And then this would seem like to be right up his alley. About, you know, sheriffs and that reestablishing. Supposedly he's trying to train county sheriffs on their responsibilities and that.
Who's trying?
Are you connected with him in that some way? With the sheriff's training?
Who?
Richard Mack.
Oh, Richard Mack. We've had contact with Richard Mack many, many moons ago. He came up here to Albany, and we've had him talk. I've had dinner with him on a couple occasions. We've had good conversations. There was a guy out west doing something stupid, trying to do what we're doing, but twisting it really in a really bad way. And for some reason, Richard Mack thought that was me, and so I tried to talk with him, but he won't talk to me. But hopefully one day he'll come to realize that it wasn't me, and we're doing things, you know, according to the law. I mean, everything we're doing, we back up with, you know, footnotes, which gives all of the places where we get our information through history and so on. Yeah. So, Richard Mack, I support him anyway. Matter of fact, let me show you a page we have on the sheriff's page. If you click on the sheriff's page, okay, one of the things. Sheriff Dar, we work with Sheriff Dar. There's Sheriff Mack right there, by the way. But Sheriff Dar, he's been educated with us. He's been educated with Brenta Winters, and he was educated already, and he's a really powerful sheriff. He really knows what's going on. We put some things up here with Sheriff Mack. This is a good interview. This is about an hour long. And here's another one where he talks about different things and judges and stuff, and the decision was made. And then we put a link here for the sheriffs to go to connect with CSPOA, because sheriffs need to get together. Here in New York, I'm going to be sending out a letter, a personal letter, to all 62 sheriffs. And they've already got our books, Government by Consent. So we've worked. Anybody that in your state, you should connect with other committees of safety and kind of get together and talk about things and work on a campaign to make sure all the sheriffs in your state gets a book. And once that happens, you get in touch with me and we'll make contact with the sheriffs and try to bring them together, maybe have talk to they have associations, Sheriff Association of New York State, and every state has that, and there's a national association. You know, hopefully be able to connect with them, maybe go out to speak to them. But the key thing is to educate them, and that's why we want to give them a free education. They come to our website, they sign up, they will automatically be enrolled in our education set up for court access in the common law, which will deliver them all of the necessary knowledge that they need in order to understand due process completely, understand how the court system works, and understand common law, and understand our founding documents. You know, this is a very, very in-depth course, and anybody who really is in the courts, you need to know all this stuff. And again, this is the table of contents right here. I'm just going to let it scroll very slowly through to see how much information is in here. There's lots, and there's lots of cases and memorandums and different things in the cases that we've written, a couple of cases that we've written, which kind of lays out how people can write their cases. So educating the sheriffs and bringing them together, and then making them understand, you know, once they start to realize, our sheriffs already got the books, like I said, and well over 6 months, 8 months or so, maybe it's the last time we sent any sheriff in New York a book, and so they've had it for quite some time. And my conversations with a couple of them, they're reading them. The only thing, they're frightened. They say, how can we go up against the IRS? Or how come, well, they need to know about Sheriff Mack and what he did with the feds. How do we go up against the legislators in the state? Well, you get yourself together. Listen to what Sheriff Mack talks about. Sheriff Mack lays it out. You know, we're the law, we're the law deciders. We are the chief law enforcers. And what we say is the law, period. We have to uphold the Constitution, and we'll go. And he says, I'll go up against any judge. I'll go up against any governor, legislator. Doesn't matter. We override them. And when you get 2, 3, 4 sheriffs together, that's powerful. Okay. When you get counties working together, and that's what they need to do. They need to get a backbone, and that's how they get their backbone, backing each other up. The people need safety, backing them up too.
Yeah. So, what two books would you recommend? Just go over that again. I have that County Sheriff's Common Law Handbook that you wrote, and I also have the Common Law Handbook for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have, if you come under Welcome, come with books by John Duresh, okay? And here's all the books that I've written. These two are my major books here. Each one of these is very large books, the 8.5 by 11 hardcovers, only $39.95. 550 pages each, maxed out. And then here's the pocket handbooks that I've written. Now, these are all downloadable. You can get all these handbooks for free underneath Start a Committee of Safety. Click on handbooks, and you come down, and you can download these handbooks, okay, for free. But if you want one that's sticking into your pocket, you know, and nice and, you know, in a booklet form, then you can buy them on Amazon. All of these are on Amazon. I would say you definitely want to get you want to get your sheriff the book Government by Consent. That's the book you want to get them, and maybe also these I think are $5 or $6 or something. I would get them the County Sheriff Common Law Handbook. That's the handbook I would get them, and again they can download that on the sheriff's page that we have. Because, again, the sheriff's page, let me get over to that. The sheriff's page right here, click here to download the sheriff's handbook. And it's a 60 pages in PDF form, 8.5 by 11 sheet papers. It covers everything. This really lays out their job, what they're responsible for, the oath they took, and so on and so forth. It lays out where the sheriff came from, how far back it goes, the history, everything. So, and again, of course, these videos would be very helpful. And they should be joining Sheriff Mack here at the Sheriff's Peace Officers Association. You know, they need to connect themselves in the in their own state. So, you there? You still there? All right, I don't know. I guess you dropped or something. All right. It doesn't seem to be anybody else left in the queue. Let me see if there's any hands up here. Maybe someone's out there in Tendi. Okay. Nope. Doesn't look like it. All right. If nobody else has anything, we'll come to the end. It's coming up on, goodness, what time is it? Coming up on midnight, I think. Okay. Usually, yep, we'll come on midnight now. Usually our Monday night programs are only 2 hours long, but anytime we have a national meeting with the committees of safety, we'll go 3 hours if we have to, at least until we can make sure everybody that's in the queue that has anything to say is heard. But we need to think about things. And next time we come together, I'm going to pick a subject, and I'm not sure what subject. And we'll talk a little bit about that subject in the opening and maybe get some discussions going on there. You know, some important things, for instance, the Bible in school. We've got to get the Bible back in school. You know, our founding fathers said our education should be around the Bible. The first act of Congress and the first thing that Washington signed into law had to do with the education and the Bible being the centerpiece of that education. People don't realize that. They don't know that. They need to know that. people need to know the difference between law and equity. We need to talk about that. They need to know the difference between a democracy and a republic and what the purpose of a democracy really is. The purpose of a democracy is to change, is to move us into an oligarchy. We've been an oligarchy for quite some time, where a small group of people behind the scenes is really running things. That's what an oligarchy is. And from there, they'll take us into Nazism or communism, but eventually end up in socialism after they've killed off most of their members, most of their enemies. And that's where we've been heading down that road for quite some time. But these are the kind of subjects we need to talk about. People need to be educated about, and we need to do something about it. People need to understand what NLA is doing by organizing the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury and what court cases we have going with that. And people need to support us with that because, you know, united we stand and divided we will continue to fall, because we are falling, and we've been falling for quite some time, and we're still falling. And we need to stop falling. And the only way you could do that is unite and become educated. That's it. No other way. Not possible. Okay, with that, I guess we'll end things. Cody, do you have a final thing? Because I see your hands are back up again. Go right ahead, Cody. Cody, you there? Cody? I hear something in the background way back there, but I can't understand it. I can hear you saying, can you hear me, but not loud enough. No, I don't know what happened to the volume.
John, I think that's from his original putting his hand up and you called on him.
Okay. All right, and with that, we're going to end it. We'll be back next Monday. We definitely will be back on the first Monday of the meeting of the month for a national meeting. And Lord willing, we'll see you then, and hopefully maybe in between. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.